This is episode number 94 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of September 14th, 2009.
Yo, man, check it out. It's Kill 9. Yo, what's up? This is an expletive deleted joint.
They got the news and reviews that you all could use. From Atlanta to Canada through the internet to you. So all y'all in the house, let me hear you make some noise. Get up out your seats and jump for joy. Just yell, who gives a shit? Like you just don't care. Cause Interactive Distractions is on the air. Straight up, bitches. It's like a regular distraction. Except y'all participate. You. Yeah.
Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 94. My name is Christopher Riccio, and I'm here with... That was Jeff Chorney.
Hey, what up?
And Jason A. Stryker.
Hey, you went with me first.
What's going on, people?
Hey.
Wait.
What?
You're not Jason.
What?
Who the fuck are you?
No, Jason. You got a cold, Jason?
Wait.
You sound a little bit
different. Guys hack my Skype account again?
Who is this?
This is Glenn. EDP.
Kill 9.
No.
How did we get you instead of... Oh, fuck it. Let's just roll with it. Forget it. Jason's not on the show this week. We're just going to roll with it this week.
He's probably playing Street Fighter.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, all right. Let's do it.
All right. Whatever.
Wait, do I have to pick up El Fuerte then?
Or Balrog. One of the two.
I don't want to do that.
You have to figure that out. Let's see. Today, later on, we're going to be talking about packaging and game and box art and whether...
Do you want to give influences. A little bit more of a formal introduction there, Chris, or what?
I'll get to that. Give me a second.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Been ahead of myself.
Jesus.
Sure.
But before that, Glenn, why don't you tell us who you are and how we should know you and why the hell we care?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Chris. I'm not sure why the hell you care. And I'm Glenn Burgess, known as Kill 9 to the VGEvo crowd. And I have the Expletive Deleted podcast that can be found at expletivedeletedpodcast.com. And basically, we ramble on about a bunch of bullshit that we like and don't like for about an hour and a half. So if you're into that, go ahead and check us out. If you're not, do it anyway, because I told you to.
And we did too, so there.
I like the show.
Yes.
I think it's good.
I do too. I think
people
you guys are
yay.
And you talk about like completely random shit, which makes for an entertaining show
and
sometimes.
Different. Yeah. It's not all on.
Well, I didn't want to do another video game podcast because there's about a bajillion of them, and I'm like, what the hell could I possibly offer that everybody else doesn't offer? I mean, there's so many amazing podcasts out there. So I figured I'd just go with some random bullshit and hopefully people listen. And so far, it's taken off pretty good for only being around for a few months. So
cool.
I'm enjoying it.
Good to hear.
Well, we like it, so we're glad to have you on, and it should be fun. Should be interesting. In reality, the reason Glenn is joining us today is because Jason is hard at work on trying to get things set up for tomorrow, which is going to be our raffle giveaway for the I Got Next fundraiser. So if you're wondering where he is, that's what he's doing. He's busy with putting final touches on the VG Evo stick and just doing all kinds of cool stuff ready for tomorrow. So we will see you guys live tomorrow at 9 o'clock, even though by the time you hear this, it's over.
It's a sexy ass stick, by the way.
It is. It's damn sexy. Etched plexi. It's awesome.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. Anyway, Jeff, what's up, man? How are you?
Doing okay. Our cat, we got her spayed yesterday. And
she doesn't like you today, does she?
No, she actually extra likes us, which is because
likes you.
Thank you for removing my female partner.
I appreciate it.
For real, like at first I was like, okay, she's gonna have to get the cone head. At first I thought it was ridiculously funny and hilarious because I remember when we got my dog fixed, she had the cone head too, and it was funny. And it is funny for sure.
Hell yes, it's funny.
Yeah, I had the exact same thing, and then Tanya called me all distraught. She was actually really, really sad because apparently she was just not being herself, and she kept freaking out and just running into things on purpose, trying to get the cone off and flopping around like a fish out of water. And at first, I had to laugh. I'm like, this is hilarious. But when I got home, though, and actually saw it, I was actually kind of sad because I'm like, you're used to like this little kitten, like really happy, jumping around and like trying to play and everything, and then she's totally not herself, just kind of being crazy. And after she kind of gave up, she kind of had this look like, I'm defeated. on her face, and just like hanging the cone down and just kind of following us around everywhere. So now she's being really, really affectionate. Like, she doesn't want to be away from us at all. Like, she will follow us everywhere if she can, if she's not in like too much pain. And when we're going to bed, she'll like cuddle right up to us and stuff, which she kind of did before, but not so much. Like, she's not playing at all. So instead, she's just finding whoever's closer and just laying there. And so it's kind of whatever. This heart is kind of like, oh, that's sad. But I know in a couple days she'll be back to her normal self with just a cone on her head, and then it'll officially be hilarious. So
videos, Jeff. Videos.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm hoping to get some videos up there on Twitter and maybe Facebook.
Score.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
But cone guy, that'll be good.
Other than that, that's pretty much been my week. That's all that's kind of really happened.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Not much different over here. I have a very different setup today because of the fact that we have no Jason. So I've got all the equipment hooked up to play voicemails and all that weird shit. So it's been an interesting last hour and a half trying to get all this set up. But it works, and I'm happy, so that's good. Just getting ready for tomorrow's raffle giveaway, and that should be good. And then, yeah, six weeks to Indusfest.
Indusfest!
Yeah. Looking forward to that. I know that Glenn's going to be there, and Glenn, yes. You're bringing Chris, right?
Chris Pigpen from VG Evo. He is my most Mexican co-host on EDP.
Compared to your
proof
wife,
that
I
he
guess
hasn't
that
been
was...
around for the last two episodes. So, but he'll be coming up with me. As far as I know, still, we already got our hotel booked and everything, and we are all set to go.
Nice.
Can't wait.
Oh man, I'm stoked. I am.
You still
so
haven't
excited.
Convinced the wife yet, huh?
No, I don't know. I mean.
She'll
part of me wants
time.
Her to go. Well, part of me wants her to go, but part of me doesn't want to have to worry about her being bored off her ass and then me being drunk and have to go, oh, I'm sorry, honey. You want to go back to the hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't want to. I want to go get more drunk and play more Street Fighter and more Rock Band.
Yeah, so, I totally understand that. Yeah. If that's the case, then...
I'm not sure what would work out best yet. But
no,
if it will be in her interest and she will enjoy herself, then of course she will be coming as well.
All right, cool. Well, she can hang out with Crystal because I have a feeling she's not going to be partying as much as the rest of us, too. So.
Crystal's not a girly girl, right?
No, not at all.
Son of a bitch.
All right.
I knew it.
Not even close. She actually, if you mention the color pink, I think she...
Yes. Oh,
awesome.
Kelly might be coming then. Kelly may indeed be coming.
All right, cool. Well, let's jump into it then. Glenn, why don't you start us off? What are you playing this week? What's distracting you?
That weird game. What's it called? Life. I fucking hate that game.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, a whole lot of work with a little bit of games involved. But I've made some little time for Street Fighter. I hadn't played it probably 3 or 4 days. So I was like, yeah, got to jump in. Got to play. Can't let AOTS 16 get better than me. So got to keep playing that. Played a little bit of Shatter, really, really frustrated by the bosses. I've yet to beat it, like, in one playthrough. And I just decided, all right, I'm not going to try and beat it in one playthrough. I'm just going to go through and play the bosses. And
so anyway, so anyone should come up there, and it'll be a good time.
you're a dick.
Where did it get cut off on?
All right, now I have to write this down, apparently.
So oh, you guys happened? Didn't even know I was gone?
No, we didn't even know you were gone, dude.
Are you fucking for real?
No. I should totally keep this in. Fuck it. Keep going, Jet. Wow. We're keeping this shit in.
So, all right then. Shatter. Boss is really fucking frustrating. Pissing me off a lot. So, I literally was at the moment where I was about to throw the controller through the plasma TV.
Oh, don't do that.
Have to take the picture of the six-axis hanging out of a sparking piece of glass. And I promise I will take that picture when that day comes, and believe me, it will probably come. So
Don't do it!
And thanks to Welcome to the Goo, I finally picked up Final Fantasy VII for the first time.
Oh, cool.
Never played it before, so I started playing that, and I've been totally spoiled by current-gen games where they go, hey, let me grab your hand and say, go left now. That's where you want to go, over there. Final Fantasy, no, you run in circles, go, what the fuck? Why can't I climb up there? I should be able to climb up there. And, oh, great, another random battle. Sweet, that's what I fucking need right now. Awesome. Oh, all I had to do was go off the screen to the left? Well, fuck, why didn't you just tell me?
You can always hit the select button.
Now he tells me.
It won't tell you where to go, but it'll tell you where you can go.
Yeah, it tells you, like, it'll show you where you are and, like, where the exits are on the screen.
Okay. That's exactly what I need.
Yeah,
so,
it's helpful, believe it or not.
Mental note, select button.
Select
check.
Button is your friend.
And all in all, I'm lame, and that's pretty much been it. Oh, Rock Band. Rock Band 2, of course.
So I missed stuff, so I'm guessing Shatter and Final Fantasy?
And Street Fighter.
And Street Fighter.
Of course, Street Fighter.
Yes.
Cool.
Good stuff. All right. Jerks. Jeff, what are you playing this week?
Besides my co-hosts and guests are fucking assholes.
He's playing consoling Tanya. She's crying over the Conehead cat. Okay.
Exactly. Stick it to my guns. I played some more Metroid on the Wii.
Cool.
Still enjoying it. I'm starting to get lost now, though, which is not fun in Metroid when you've opened up like a big chunk of the maps.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh my god. Like, because it's bad enough to get into an area of like a linear game and you kind of you don't forget, but you don't know what to do, and then you sit there and you look around forever, and then you realize, oh my god, there's a switch right there, I didn't even fucking see it. Boom. But with Metroid, the game is so based on backtracking, that whole scenario could happen, that switch could be there, but then you have the mentality of, holy crap, there's an area way over here I haven't been to yet, maybe I have to go there now. So you travel all the way the fuck back, and be like, fuck, I can't get anywhere around here either. And then it just freaks me out. I'm like, oh my god, if I'm missing that little switch, I'm going to be so pissed off because I've traveled all the way back here thinking this is the way Metroid is. I don't have to look in this one room for a switch. And of course, I come back to that one room and I put on a certain vision that I totally forgot that I had. And oh, look, there's the friggin' button I have to hit. And it just gets frustrating.
I'm glad I spent 2 hours traveling halfway across the fucking planet to find out that I needed to push a button that was 3 feet away.
Exactly. In the same room. I'm like, oh. So anyway, it's fun, though. So I've actually had to revert to some facts here and there just to make sure I'm going in the right direction because I do actually want to get through all three of them. So
you really like the Wii controls then, yeah?
I love the Wii controls, and I couldn't imagine playing this game with a regular controller. I don't know. And it's weird because I couldn't imagine playing some other first-person shooters with the Wii controls, but for some reason this game, it just seems so right. Hmm. And I could be the wrong person to give an opinion because I never played the originals, but...
Yeah, I played the first one.
Can I ask you a question, Jeff?
Sure.
So I don't own a Wii at all, so I don't know how this controls. So like, you guys have talked about the Wii controls on the Metroid and everything, and I have no idea how it controls. So what's so good about it?
Basically, you use the Wiimote is your aiming. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, it has your aiming where it's like a reticule on the screen. If it goes roughly towards the edges of the screen, you'll start to move Samus's head. So it sounds ridiculous when you hear it, like, well, that doesn't seem really reactive, but it's got a good, I guess, kind of, not dead space, but I guess, what's the, I guess, alive space where the reticule is. So if it's kind of close to the edge, it'll turn really fast, but it moves kind of slower the further you get from the edge of the screen. So it actually works really, really well, and I've never found myself like, oh, crap, could you turn any faster or anything like that? Use the
nunchuck. And just walk with the nunchuck?
Yeah, you walk with a nunchuck, and then each button does something different. There's a lot of different things you can do on it. Like, pretty much it uses every button on the controller, but it doesn't make you use stuff that are really out of the way in the heat of battle, which is what I like. And it's just such a lazy game to play is why I love it. Because you can play any game, like, I guess, laying on the couch or whatever, but just having, like, you can have the nunchuck anywhere and the... the Wiimote anywhere, just be sitting there like, ah, I'm hungover and I just want to play Metroid like upside down or whatever, and it's, you can have your hands anywhere. It's pretty awesome.
Now they changed the lock on,
so it's not
that,
like,
right?
Wii Fit jogging. You don't like stick the Wiimote in your pocket and run around and that's how you move.
No,
like that.
You're not like sitting there aiming at the screen or anything like that, and like, you know, diving behind your couch like the commercials.
Now, they changed the way the lock-on works, right? It doesn't lock on to an enemy anymore. It actually locks on to, like, a specific spot on the screen. Is that right?
Huh?
Yeah, isn't there a lock-on that was to the point where the camera will stay focused on, like, a specific spot?
I don't know. I know the control scheme I use, it's free aim. You can aim wherever you want to, but if you want, you can hold down, I think it's the Z button, and it'll lock on whatever enemy you're targeting, and then at that point, the camera sticks on that enemy, but you can still move the reticule anywhere you want within that area.
Oh, I got you.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Which is pretty cool. But yeah, I'm still having a lot of fun with that. What else I'm playing with? Blaze Blue with the whole Scrub Sport tournament that's slowly crawling around. I advanced again to the next bracket in the tournament, so that'll hopefully will be done within the next 12 months or so. I haven't really picked it up besides that. Surprisingly, I didn't play any Street Fighter last week.
What?
Wait, no,
who
wait,
are you?
I think,
what?
Where's
I think
Jeff?
Glenn and I played some. I must have played a did I play, Glenn, did I play at all in Street Fighter in the past week?
Friday, when we did the, when we had a whole bunch of people like Double Orican and Chris over.
That's right.
We played a little Street Fighter. Yes.
Hey, you played some Blaze Blue too, didn't you? Oh no, did you?
Yeah.
But yes, we
yeah, let's go ahead and rewind. Yeah, I played a little Blaze Blue. it was fun. How about you, Jeff? What have you been playing?
I played some Street Fighter. so yeah, I did play some Street Fighter. after talking with Jason last week, talking about that Streets of Fury game, I downloaded that
indie
game on XNA. Ah. That game is so ridiculous. I'm not going to say it's a good game because I think he was really doped up on cold medicine when he was talking about it. It's a brawler with Pit Fighter type graphics, and it's impressive that people actually film themselves doing this stuff and they put it into a video game. And it does kind of work, but the controls are a little bit wonky and janky here and there. But it is funny. Download the trial just for a laugh. And I think it is only like $4 or something like that. But one game I will recommend, though, is XNA. Is that I think I mentioned it last week, but I never played it at that point. It was I Made a Game with Zombies.
Oh, yeah. It's like a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
It's $1. It is worth it alone just to hear the entire song. Because the entire time you're playing the game, it's a dual stick shooter. It's a guy who made the game singing about his game, and it is hilarious. It is so he's making
this
fun of himself.
This is my game about
zombies. Yeah, it's like that. It's like, it's only cost $1. Yeah, it's a dual stick shooter.
They're gonna eat your brains.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't shoot them,
setting zombies on fire.
That's exactly what it's like. And you don't even have to download the full version for it. You can just get the trial and you hear pretty much majority of the song anyway. Because I think the song's
How long is the game?
Not long. It repeats after a while, but the song is like 10 minutes or so. And when you do a trial, a demo of the XNA games are 5 minutes. You can play it for 5 minutes. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, that was that.
So the trial's pretty much the game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Trial
yeah.
is half the game. There you go.
played more Shadow Complex. I'm still loving that game. I really wish this came out for PSP. I wish it was on a portable system because I'd play it all the time. I think it's amazing. Yeah. It'd be perfect for a portable console. More Castlevania, Order of Ecclesia. I am lost, Chris. I have to ask you a question about it actually probably on break or something because I've checked everywhere and I don't know where the hell I'm going.
Wait, Chris plays Castlevania?
What?
No. He's tried one or two. He's down.
Yeah, I've played a couple of them. No big deal.
What else I play? I actually downloaded Core for PS3.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, Glenn messaged me. He's like, Core? Really? I'm like, well, dude, they have games I'm interested in.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Why not? I was bored.
You know Veronica Belmont's just on the internet, right? You can look at her like on web pages. You don't have to buy Core. It's okay.
I just want to see some Uncharted stuff and some GT. But that made me start playing Uncharted again. So I played through about an hour and a half more into that. Of my second playthrough, so I'm slowly chugging through, and I play some Gran Turismo Prologue because of that as well.
Nice.
Yeah. I guess the last. Oh, I played some Gears 2 last night as well.
Okay.
What's missing something? Oh, fuck! Of course I'm missing something. I picked up Miramasa.
Nice. I was waiting for that.
Yes. So Chris, you picked it up too, right?
I did. I picked it up today though. I tried to pick it up on Sunday and Monday, Labor Day. And the official release date wasn't until the day after. And I couldn't get a Best Buy rep to help me to actually go and see if they actually had it in the back. So the first time I was able to go get it was today. So I got about 2 hours worth of playing. But
holy crap, dude, already. Well, I guess, yeah, you get home kind of early. So.
Yeah, I get home around 5 o'clock. But, oh, God, it's so fucking beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Go ahead.
I was going to say the one thing that it was – you know, it's funny because I didn't really think about it when I titled the podcast last week. When I titled it Nostalgic About Muramasa. And as soon as I started playing it and I saw the backgrounds and the parallax scrolling, I was like, oh, dude, this brings me back, man.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. It's first of all, yeah, it's gorgeous for a Wii game. It's gorgeous for any game.
Yeah,
actually.
It's gorgeous for
any
game. And there's people out there saying that they want it on 360 or PS3. And honestly, I don't know. what they would do to make it look better. I mean,
if they up-res it to 720 or whatever 1080p, I think it would look that much better. I mean, it does. I mean, it's the Wii. It's not HD. I think the art is gorgeous, and I think it looks so well because of both the art design and how the graphics are, like mm-hmm. how they look on screen, whatever. But if that was in 720p, dude, you'd blow your load.
Oh no, it's pretty close already.
All right. So my father-in-law has a Wii. So should I consider buying this game and hanging out with my in-laws to play it?
Well, if you want to hang out with your in-laws for you to play it, yes, they will not play it.
They won't play it. This is a hardcore game.
He literally has troubles with Wii Fit push-ups. I don't want to do Muramasa.
Yeah, he won't be down with that. But that's actually okay. This is gonna sound like I'm kind of hating on the game, but the game is getting anywhere from literally sixes to like 9.5s in some places. And I will say right now, in my opinion, I don't see where the nines are coming from, honestly. Mm-hmm. Not because I think a lot of that is they think how beautiful the game is and, oh my God, it's on the Wii. It's kind of getting extra points. I think the score is at, like, I don't know how far I am into it. I don't know. I'm a few hours, but that's why I can't say for sure. I'll give it a couple weeks. But I don't know, Chris, the gameplay just seems a little bit shallow and
The combat, you mean?
Yeah, the combat, well, and the gameplay. I mean,
I will say that the combat, it's all right. Last week when we had Shane on, he mentioned Ninja Gaiden and he mentioned Devil May Cry.
Yes.
It's nowhere near as deep as that.
Neither of them, yeah.
But for a game,
not as deep as Devil May Cry, that what?
For a game that has one button combat, it's a lot deeper than you think.
Oh God, yeah.
Because it's all based on, you know, it's not even like just hitting the button as fast as you can. I mean, that'll do a combo, but it's not where all the cool stuff happens.
No, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, you hold the button down and like moving the D-pad in different directions will make you do different moves, and you can really do some pretty wicked shit. You know, mm-hmm. I've gotten some. I mean, just playing it in an hour and a half, I've had some 40-50 hit combos.
Oh, dude. Have you played?
Wow. Okay.
My highest combo right now is 1,007 hits.
What?
Yeah.
Is that a boss?
It's a boss. And this is how. Okay. Have you fought the caterpillar? What storyline are you going through first?
I'm using the chick. What's her name?
Okay. Damn. I went the Mirasumi. I don't know. Something Japanese.
Yeah. I can't remember her name now.
I'm going the dude Kazuke.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm doing his line. There's a centipede boss where you're fighting like three centipedes at one time, which I swear on my balls, I'm pretty sure that it didn't hit me once because I just sat there. And that's not saying because I was good at the game. It's because I honestly don't think this thing can hit you. I sat there and hit. You know how each of your demon blades, your swords, has the, if you hit Y, does a special attack?
Right.
Well, one of the first blades you start off with the guy is, his special attack is basically spins in a circle, like does a bunch of flips, mm-hmm. and hits like, I don't know how many times with one. So when all three of them were bunched up, I'm like, I'm just going to keep jamming on Y. And then when my blade got weak, I'd switch and I don't want to keep doing it. And I just sat there and kept doing it, just hitting one button over and over and over again. And I got to a 1,007 hit combo.
Holy shit, man.
Yeah. Wow. It was ridiculous. But that's not, I mean, it's fun as hell. But what are you going to say, Glenn?
All right, you sold me. I'm going to pick this up. And I'm house sitting for my in-laws next week because they're going out of town.
Hey, there you go.
I will be playing the Wii.
There you go.
It's worth it, man. It really is. I'm enjoying the shit out of the game.
I got it. This is what I got to say. Like, it's going to sound like I'm hating on it only because I want to point at people like what the reason why I think it's shallow is because it's got big maps. That's fine. They have rooms that have secrets in them, but the secrets are so predictable where they're placed. Like, and a lot of the backgrounds do look the same, especially when you're traveling between the main spots. You'll go through like four or five screens that are basically not exactly the same, but same type of backgrounds and two levels later it'll be the same kind of thing. And if you see like on that screen, it'll tell you there's a secret in this room. You pretty much know it's either going to be on one of the tree branches or it's going to be on a rock at the end. That's pretty much the way it is, like the design is. At least this is about 3 hours in.
Yeah, we're not too far into the game either.
Yeah, so it could change. This is all going by like how far I am now.
It could be underneath a rock at the end of a tree branch.
Ooh. Oh, shit. That would throw me for a loop. Then I'd just be screwed, and I'd run away the other side for 2 hours.
Where's
the fucking button?
Have you gone through any, like, cities and climbed any buildings or anything yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just making sure, because I know that Momohime, that's her name, she starts on, like, the other side of the island compared to
Does she start the other side of the island? Because I started, I actually played a little bit of hers for shits and giggles just to see where she started. And she does start at a place close to where the dude starts.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty close. But maybe they take different paths from there. Because I actually got to a point, have you got to the point where you actually run into the other character when you're bathing half naked in the hot springs?
I hate when that happens.
Okay. But that was cool. But it, yeah, that in the the backtracking in the game, I just want to point this out, is if you do have to go back to like a present area you've already been into, like say half an hour beforehand, if you don't have the money to use the warps, which are very, I guess they're kind of placed kind of far from each other, you have to actually physically run back through the levels. And that can take a bit. I don't personally don't mind because it lets you look at all the scenery again and with little random encounters, because the encounters in the game seem pretty random. And it's kind of done like an RPG where it's like, it goes, oh, you're going to fight, and then you'll fight some dudes, you'll kill them all, and then all of a sudden a screen comes up, here's your experience, here's what you got, blah, 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 and then boom, you continue on. But, yeah, other than those things that I don't even think is a fault for the game, it just seems very simple. If you take out the point, the fact that you can forge blades and the cooking mechanic, which Chris, I don't think you're still at, you probably haven't done the cooking yet, have you?
I've gotten a couple of the cookbooks, but I haven't done anything with them yet.
Yeah, because I think you have to get to a point where you actually do it. But if you take those parts out, the game is pretty basic.
So I'm confused. Are we talking about Monster Hunter now?
No. See, if you played Odin Sphere, this is pretty much the combat of Odin Sphere, just ramped up to like 11.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and it's the combat is faster, and thank God there's not any item management. Holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. other than that, I'm actually loving the game. I'm liking it, because as much as I can say, there's little things I can be nitpicky about it, and what I wish was I can get more from it, like have it little, like I just feel like the combat is a little bit too basic. And another thing is, Glenn, now, you know, you jump by hitting up, which not only takes a crap load to get used to, I just feel like I don't have as much control when it's like that. I'll jump by accident, like, yeah, whatever, I jump by accident, I can just hold down B though and aim a direction, I'll just continue the combo or whatever. I wish I had control on that aspect. But Chris, you're gonna say something before I interrupted you like a douche?
No, I'm agreeing with you mainly. It's the combat is pretty simple, but there are some, you know, there's some tricks to make it, you know, more interesting. It's not just mash attack over and over and over, you know. You know, I haven't gotten into the forging or anything yet, but the game is gorgeous. The gameplay is very reactive and very quick. The response of the character on screen is perfect. You know, they just move so fast. I'm loving the hell out of this game. I really am. I wish I would have gotten out of Oosphere, actually.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, as much as I can, that's what I said, it's going to sound like I'm ragging on it, but really I have been thinking about this game at work, coming home, playing it. And it is addicting when you start playing, because not only, even though there are repetitive kind of environments and stuff, every, like, say 10 minutes or so, not even, you're going to hit a new environment they've never seen. You'll be like, oh my God, this is a gorgeous game.
And they're all hand-drawn. And they're all, I mean, all the ones that you can see off in the distance are parallax scrolling. And it's just, they're just gorgeous.
And the bosses are pretty kick-ass.
Yeah.
Good times.
I'm really liking the game right now. Yeah, for sure. Definitely check it out. Especially if you've had your Wii with a little bit of dust on it and you want to play something besides Wii Sports Resort or Metroid. Pick up Miramasa, because I really, really, really enjoy it. It's a fun ass game. It's simple. It's like one of those things that looks like it's simple at first glance, but it's really what you put into it in terms of the combat and how much you want to get out of the game. But it's good. I like it so far. Digging it big time.
Yeah. In reality, it's kind of like a Metroidvania game where they're trying to throw in more complicated combat. You know, that's the way I look at it. So, you know, at the way the combat is, I think the combat is fine the way it is because of the style of game it is. You know, it's not trying to be God of War, Ninja Gaiden, or Devil May Cry. It's trying to be, you know, it's trying to be Odin Sphere. That's what it's trying to be.
That's the thing. I don't think anyone should have actually compared it to Metroid or Castlevania, because I think thinking about that going into the game, I expected more platforming and more kind of things along those lines. Whereas really, it is an action game. It is a side-scrolling brawler. to tell you, like, really, that's kind of what it is. And that, I wouldn't say brawler because it's a lot faster moving. You're not just, like, you know, punching guys in the face. But it's highly... The game's based around combat rather than platforming and any kind of puzzle solving, really.
It still has that the same mechanic as the other as Castlevania and Metroid, where it's like you go and you find an item and you have to backtrack to get to someplace else. You know, it's that.
Yeah,
it's that
but the
type
items are given to you though. Yeah, but they're given to you. It's like you beat a boss there, you go, you get your sword that will break through yellow barriers.
Yeah,
and then it'll tell you where to go.
That's the way some of the basic old some of the basic concepts of Metroid work. So.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I'm just saying a big part of Metroid and Castlevania is platforming and jumping.
Oh yeah, I won't argue with that.
Getting from place to place and getting
and
like
so far there has been little to no platforming. I mean, you jump from one platform to the other, but that's as much as it is. It's like
and,
there's no challenge to it at all.
And the exploration at this point, like I said, is simple. It's like it'll tell you if there's a secret in the room, and then it's really ridiculously easy to find it because it has a glowing spark. Of where the secret is.
Yeah.
So unless there's other ones that don't have it, so
it's like having
here.
A fucking sign saying, "This is my secret base. Do not look here."
Exactly. Don't look at. I wouldn't go into it thinking it's like Metroid or Castlevania on the surface. Like, just expect it like Odin Sphere on crack. That's basically the. I think
so. Just
that's the best way I could.
Fun with 1,000 hit combos.
Yes.
Exactly.
There you go.
Okay.
That'll work.
And gorgeous.
And gorgeous.
I dated a girl like that once.
All right, cool.
1,000 hit combos?
Yes. And
all right, well, we covered Muramasa, so I don't have to get into that. I have been playing a lot of Champions Online this week. I'm not going to get into it in too much detail because it would be boring. You fly around, you do quests, you kill shit, you find shit, you go up levels.
You collect shit.
You collect shit.
Is that what your Twitter thing is where it keeps saying so-and-so is at level 10?
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering about that.
Is that automatic?
It's automatic, yeah. Okay. I'll have to shut it off because it's kind of annoying. And half the time, it doesn't even fucking work. It's like it's supposed to happen when like you reach like every 5 levels or something, and then like whenever you get a specific perk, like a perk that is over 25 perk points or whatever it is. And every time I get something, I'll see Twitter error 408. I'm like, so what the fuck is the point of having it on, you know? So yeah, still been playing a lot of that. Enjoying the shit out of it right now. My main character, who I am now, I've actually gone to my third character from when I was playing the beta is now my main character. He's level 19. And I think the level cap is 40. So hopefully I'll actually make it to the level cap of my MMO. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Dungeons & Dragons Online went free to play.
Really?
Yes, it did. I started a topic on VG Evo about it. I haven't actually played it yet, but I got it downloaded and installed, and I checked out the character creation. And they're doing the microtransaction thing. So when you start making your character, it's like you'll start making your character and you'll pick a fighting class, and one of the classes is like a melee class. One of the classes that you can be is a monk, and it says buy this now or something like that. And you can choose races, and one of the races you can choose is a drow, and it says buy this now. So you know, a lot of the shit's already, you know, is already that pay to play.
Wow.
Mechanism. It's already
before you even make a character.
Before you even start
already,
playing the game, you know, you're making your character, and that pay to play shit's already there. But that's fine. You know, it's like I don't
it's like
really.
You can be a peasant and only a peasant.
That's right. Pretty much. But,
buy this now. you can be a tree in a field. Buy this now.
it's free to play, so I'm going to give it a shot and try it out. But
hey,
I'm going to try not
you
to.
Have a good question.
Cool. What?
Cool. I'm just saying it's being a tree.
Being a tree.
Just
in
being
field.
A tree. And
people walk by. Hey, wait, wait, wait. Come back. Come back.
Sitting
hey.
There like, hey, doing your quest doing all right? Good. Good. Cool.
Need some shade.
Hey, let's party up now. With Jeff. Cool. Well, we could, but we can't move from this spot. He's kind of stuck in the ground.
Whatever. I'm good. I can chill.
Put some lights in Jeff. He can't stop you. He really hates it. Do it.
Anyone have any good grass?
Oh, God.
No. Oh, that was horrible. Okay.
Fail.
But yeah, so it's free to play. So I'm going to start. I put the topic up on VG Evo, and a few people seemed like they were interested. So I'm going to give that a shot, but I'm not going to let it draw me away from Champions too much because I'm actually paying for Champions. let's see what else. Batman Played some more Batman. I was originally going to try and platinum this game. Now I say fuck that game.
Why?
The challenge stages. Okay, the Predator stages are awesome because it's like, All right, now take out a guy this way or take out a guy this way, and it really makes you, you know, it makes you be more creative about it, so you can get the like the three Batarang rating. But God, the friggin' brawl stages are like, okay, get 30,000 points. And the best I can do is 19,000. It's like, well, shit. You know, it's like the one that I'm stuck on is it's the third one. I've got the first two out of the way. They weren't too hard. The third one is Shock and Awe, and it's in like the area where it's got the shock plates on the floors, right?
Where you fight, yeah.
Yeah, but they're not on, so it's not that big of a deal. But there's like knife guys and there's the stun rod guys, and you know, unless you get perfect combos throughout that entire fight, you're not getting the point value you need to advance.
That's annoying.
Yeah, and they make it so, you know, there's an achievement or a trophy for getting a perfect combo, which means using all nine of your attacks in one combo without getting knocked out of it. And it's like you have to pretty much do that on every chance you get to make the point values that they want. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there that have platinumed this game, but I just don't have the patience for it. It's like after I go through the same stage like 15, 20 times and I'm still at 19,000, I pretty much time to say, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm going to probably go back and play the Predator stages because they're fun as shit. And I got to play as the Joker a little bit, and that was pretty cool, you know, because he's got all new moves, and you know, he doesn't have a batarang. Instead, he pulls out a gun and shoots the guy. So it's pretty cool, and like
simple, elegant. I like it.
Exactly. And it's like his takedowns. It's hilarious.
Need a brick.
he'll like jump on the guy and just start bashing him on the head like over and over and over. It's hilarious to watch him fight. So that's pretty cool. But I think for the most part, I'm not gonna try and platinum this game anymore. It's just not worth the frustration.
Not worth the frustration.
No, it's really not.
Not worth the hair you're gonna lose.
That's right. No, you mean the hair that the rest of my hair is gonna be gray by the time I try and get this fucking platinum trophy. Let's see. I think that's about it. Most of my time has been with Champions, honestly, and now I've got Muramasa, so that's gonna be taking up my time next week.
Cool. I actually played a lot of Dreamcast. Well, not a lot of some Dreamcast stuff, but...
Did you pick up your Dreamcast too?
I did, actually. It's not quite as hot as Glenn's, but... as in Torgo's, not Glenn's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, I didn't.
Probably not as hot as mine either, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I'm about 20 hours into Phantasy Star V on the Dreamcast 2. I forgot to mention that.
And, how many? 20 hours? Shit,
yeah,
I'm
about 20
you.
Hours.
Power
I'm only 15.
It's a good game.
Do that third boss pain in the ass.
rest in peace, Dreamcast.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's get moving. Should we do some news?
Oh, shit. Yeah, let's do some news, actually. You know, it was the Dreamcast 10-year anniversary yesterday.
It was.
This is a couple days ago, actually, for people listening to this now. World of podcasting. a new Dreamcast game's actually been released called Rush Racing.
Well, it hasn't been released, right? It's just been announced. It's coming out next month, I think.
Whatever, yeah. Next month. Is no one. No, no.
Way to go, news guy.
Well, it's been announced. As in somebody like said something like on MSN Messenger to his buddy. Yeah, I think our game's gonna be ready by next month. And it's announced.
Yeah.
But it's going to be because, you know, they had the open platform ever since they died out because it's really easy to develop for and said, hey, you know what? You want the tools? There you go. Have them.
Yeah.
So games have been coming out, I wouldn't say consistently, but I'd say
there's
every
been,
couple years.
You know, in the past year, I'd say there's been probably three or four titles that have come out. I mean, it's a lot of them are
shmups
or something like that. And but you know this Rush Racing looks really friggin' cool. It's like an overhead rally racing game, and it's pretty cool.
Exactly.
It kind of reminded me of old NES RC Pro-Am graphics update.
Yeah.
Exactly. It looks pretty cool. I mean, it's going to be $22. You can get it off the web. You can get it online. I should open up these things before I start reading them. But it's also region free. It's actually coded by guys in Europe. It's region free, so if you order it from their website, it'll work on pretty much any. Well, we'll work on any Dreamcast, really. son of a bitch, they had to... You can get this at www.redspotgames.com. So if you go on there, it's right on there. Rush Rush Rally Racing.
Jeez, that was hard.
And it's, and it's four players.
It is four players. It's
pretty cool stuff.
That is cool. Definitely cool stuff. So you guys still got a Dreamcast kicking around. You want to give it a shot.
And also the Dreamcast 2 is backwards compatible.
That's
so
right.
Go ahead and pick it up and throw it in your new Dreamcast.
And the Dreamcast 2 actually plays Genesis games as well. So
yeah, from what I hear, it's actually forwards compatible too. It's going to work with the Dreamcast 3 when it comes out.
Oh, also, for real?
That's insane. Also, it gives you HJs.
And it actually has... and it has cross-game voice chat.
Oh, it beats Sony. Yeah.
No, it's cross-platform voice chat. You can actually chat with people on... You can actually chat with people on Xbox Live, but you can't do it on PSN because that's not implemented yet.
But
the only problem is,
text chat. With
everybody that talks through the Dreamcast, anybody on Xbox Live, sounds like Hal from Space Odyssey. Hello, Jeff. What are you playing?
What are you playing?
I'm afraid I can't play that, Jeff.
Oh shit! Don't you wish they made another Burning Rangers?
Hey, that was a cool game. What the hell?
That wasn't a right game.
What else we got?
All right, cool. Batman. That was the last thing you talked about. Let's transition to that. Awesome. Batman Arkham Asylum for PC. Apparently has an intentional glitch to catch pirates.
And, oh, I heard about this.
This is actually kind of funny because what happened was the game isn't even out on PC yet. So I guess somebody got an illegal copy of this game. And they had a problem where when they were trying to use Batman's glide technique... when they hit the button on the keyboard, it would just keep kind of flapping his cape, and then he would just fall, no matter where he was, into a big vat of poison, basically.
That's awesome.
Poison gas, and die. So this guy actually called, like, tech support or whatever, and was like, hey, listen, something's wrong here. This is his problem. Even though his buddy apparently told him, dude, the game's not even out yet. Don't call them. It's not even out. Like, dude, you're retarded. Like, what's wrong with you? And they're like, yeah, the reason why it's doing that is because the game's not even out yet. But if you want, you can buy a legal copy of the game, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So this is actually pretty cool, but I want to know how they'd do something like that, how they could tell if it was pirated. Because the article doesn't go into detail how they did it or what actually the glitch is. I'm guessing the glitch is you cannot glide, but
yeah,
how does it determine whether or not it's a pirated game or not? Because they don't go into detail about that. But either way, I think that's hilarious.
Like, it's a great way to catch pirates, you know? It's,
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't affect the people who actually went out and bought the game, you know, because mm-hmm. they don't have to
Hopefully.
Deal with, like, DRM or some other bullshit like that. And then the people that did pirate the game get fucked over hard, and then they try and call tech support and basically get caught. So it's great.
Well, also,
the police will be there in a half hour.
It's still enjoyable, too, if you pirated the game, because you could just keep throwing Batman into a big vat of poison.
Hey, watch this.
It's poison gas. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
That's good stuff. That's a good
idea.
What
else is funny? Courtney Love is hilarious, because we haven't heard much about her lately. She's usually whining and bitching about something. Blah, blah, blah. I killed my husband.
My vagina burns. Blah, blah, blah. Kind of
yeah, but this is something actually that's... I'm not saying I'm rooting for, so to speak, but... Apparently, she's going to be suing Activision.
What?
Oh, I'm fucking rooting for it.
Because Guitar Hero 5 using the likeness of Kurt Cobain. A lot of people thought that Courtney Love might have had something to do with this. Like, I need to make some quick money. Hey, you know what? Let's talk to Guitar Hero 5, Activision. I'll sell the rights to have Kurt Cobain in the game and make a lot of money. Apparently, via Twitter, she's saying actually she had nothing to do with this. And that it's BS and that she's going to be going after Activision. And no one who has the rights to Nirvana or... the likeness of Kurt Cobain gave the okay to do this and all this other crazy stuff. So she's going to go after Activision and try to sue.
Huh.
Which will likely get settled out of court anyway, and she'll get money either way.
Yeah.
Is there a way that they could kill each other both in this and make the entire world a better place?
Only if they both have bricks.
Battle Royale.
Maybe she'll blow up the Activision headquarters. That would be a blessing to the gaming community.
and a giant Activision sign fell on her fucking coked out head, that'd be amazing.
Oh, that's, I would love it. That's called karma, bitch.
That she goes up to heaven and Kurt Cobain bitch slaps her right in the face.
That's right. How do you like the butt end of a shotgun?
Oh, God. Sorry.
That's definitely horrible. Not too soon.
Too soon, too soon.
Okay, anyway. Too soon for new arcade sticks? Maybe. Capcom.
That was awesome, Jeff. That was fucking awesome.
That's me clapping. Good job.
Mad Cats is coming out with a new limited edition. I don't know. They haven't said it's a limited edition, but they're coming out with Marvel vs. Capcom 2 tournament edition sticks. They're going to be the same ones that were the Street Fighter 4 ones, which we already know came out with the alternative colors with like the orange and the white. They have the pink and the white ones as well, and now they have the Marvel vs. Capcom ones hitting this fall. Same price. Yep, it's going to be hitting sometime like October, November-ish.
Okay.
So keep an eye out for those. They are
in reality, it's just the tournament stick, right? It's the tournament stick with new art?
It's a tournament stick with new art. It's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's actually really, really sexy, and I'm sitting there, oh, I want that. But
yeah,
I can't.
And those sticks are awesome. I mean, in reality, all you have to do is open the sucker up, change the square gate out to be an octo gate, and it's freaking perfect. Gate.
I'm going to disagree. I actually got a chance to play with an Octagate, and I have to say I like a square gate better at this point.
Nice. Yeah.
I can't do a square gate. Whenever I try and do my double fireball motion, it just doesn't work.
I was having that problem with an Octagate because I got so used to a square gate with the stupid Hori FS3 that I got that hated, but now I like.
Good stuff.
But can't you just wrap a TE stick and whatever the fuck you want for art?
Yeah, you can. The art just—it's just an overlay. You know, you take.
Yeah, so you just get a template and stick it to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. So, just saying.
Just print it out. It's fine. You can print out a nice 2D Sonic the Hedgehog layout. Maybe put it on there.
Oh, there you go.
You know, we can remember Sonic in his glory days when it was 2D, and apparently Sega's thinking the same thing because in 2010. I know, it's terrible.
You print out a picture of a Segway and wrap that around?
shitty transition on the side? maybe, Jeff, you're fired on the back end of it?
could be.
No, it's more fun when you do shit like this, so, you know. We can't get rid of you. It's just not going to happen.
Well, what might happen is a 2D Sonic 2010 Sega.
Was awesome, Jeff.
They didn't announce platforms, whatnot, or whether or not it's going to be DLC, but they said that it could be a downloadable game, but
Dreamcast 2.
Yeah, Dreamcast 2. Definitely going to be in HD, which pretty much suggests PS3 and 360.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But, you know, it's Sega's. I don't know. They haven't done a good Sonic game in years. I'd say it's Sonic Adventure 2, or some of the DS games are good.
Yeah, I was going to say the DS games are pretty good, so let's not forget that.
Yeah. But besides those, they've Sonic's been kind of
well. That's
MIA,
the thing. I mean,
Sonic.
Now they're not trying to do this 3D Sonic. The Rush games are good because they're 2D games. They're back to the roots. Maybe this is going to be the one that goes back to the roots. We all thought it was going to be Sonic Unleashed, and well, we know how that turned out. Fucking Werehog. What the hell is that?
Terrible. That was on the Wii, right?
Sure. Well, I think that one was on.
Why not?
That was on 360 and PS3. The Wii one was the Black Knight one. It's like, oh, great. Now I'm a hedgehog that wields a sword. That's great.
Dude.
Well, you can also...
Come on. Who the fuck doesn't want to be a hedgehog who wields a sword? What's
bad about
that?
If you don't
want
to be a hedgehog that wields a sword, you can be a ninja that wields a sword and a gun. Because you know that game Red Steel? It was a launch game for the Wii.
And it sucked ass.
Big giant turd. Kind of a little bit rushed. Didn't really use the Wiimote that well. There's a sequel that's going to be coming out, and they say it's going to be better. It's going to be Motion Plus. We'll see. The developer has said, you know what? We want to see Red Steel come out on Xbox 360 and PS3. Well, they said other consoles, which, let's be realistic, that's what they're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure that there's any other way to do that.
No.
And PSP?
Other consoles. No. DS. PSP, it's going to come out on DS. Yeah. You slash with your stylus. Yeah.
Stylus, yeah.
There you go. So
have you guys
special
played the
attachment.
Game at all? Either of you guys?
What's that?
No.
Have you guys played the game at all?
I played the first one, yeah. I played it for about an hour, and then I was like, wow, this really sucks. And I stopped.
Did you play it on multiplayer?
I did, and it really sucked, and I stopped.
Well, what was cool about multiplayer? Well, there's a little thing where before the match, you had the little microphone and the microphone, little speaker in the Wiimote. You'd hold it up to your ear, and it would say something like, "Hey, you're supposed to kill blah blah blah," or "You're blah blah blah." Like it would, like a whatever game type it was, it would actually tell you kind of like instructions at the beginning. Remember that? I don't know if you played one of those game modes.
I didn't. No.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of cool. But now for two, and you actually came out and announced this. We want to have this on other consoles. The first thing you're going to hear is when you put this, you put the controller up to your ear, is going to be the announcer saying,
Who
gives a shit?
I was wondering how you were going to lead into that.
Well done.
Me too.
I didn't know either until right then.
Nice. Wii speaker, who gives a shit? I like it.
And Glenn, well done. That was one. I think that was one of the best guests who gives a shit ever.
That's just proof I listen to this podcast entirely too much.
If you've listened to one episode, you've listened entirely too much.
It's just like my podcast.
I know.
Yes.
Well, that was your news. And honestly, I don't think anyone really. There's too many first-person shooter stuff and crap like that on PS3 and 360. I honestly don't.
I don't think anybody would care about.
I don't think anyone would care.
I mean, it's like,
I think it would flop.
PS3 owners have Killzone, and 360 owners have Halo. So it's like,
well, shit. If you want a sword and a gun, Wet's coming out.
Yeah,
that
no
game
kidding.
Looks pretty
Wet
awesome
comes out soon. Yeah. I mean, that's third person, but who cares?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's take a break.
All right.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk about cover art and packaging and how it affects our purchases. And then we'll do new releases, listener email, a contest winner, and a new question of the week. So stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this. It's time to wake up.
Hello, Internet. I wanted to take a second and talk to you guys about...
Hey, what you doing?
Kind of in the middle of something, working on promoting the podcast, you know?
Really? That's what we're calling it now?
It's kind of...
really? It's just an hour and a half of two huge dorks and a Mexican bullshitting about movies, music, and video games live on the internet every Thursday.
As I was saying, you can check us out at
Hey, buddies. What are you guys doing?
Recording a promo for the podcast, or at least trying to, without you guys fucking interrupting me.
Is that really what we're calling it now? I mean, really, it's just an hour and a half for two white bitches and me talking about musics, movies, and video games, and it's broadcast every Thursday.
Just go to expletivedeletedpodcast.com. Fuck.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff.
Your face, welcome back.
Your mom's face,
oh, your
back.
Mom's face.
I'm telling her you said that, you douchebags.
All right, so today we are talking about game packaging and box art. And whether it has an effect on your game purchases. This was actually Jeff's idea. And a good idea because we got like 12 responses for this. And half of them are fucking voicemails. So we're gonna switch it up. We'll go back and forth between email and voicemail. And being that Jason's
first.
Not here, we're all going to be reading emails. So we're going to switch that up too.
That's the thing. Jason is the only one who is good enough to do all of them by himself.
That's right.
We have to split it up because we're just going to crash under the pressure.
We just
big shoes to fill
compared to him. He's the email god. We can't
big shoes to fill.
That's right. Well, Glenn, you said you wanted to start, so why don't we start with the email that you've got first?
Yeah, but now looking down the line, I'm starting to question that decision. Okay,
too late, bitch.
Damn it. All right. Email number one. A fancy looking box is always nice, but as long as the game is good, I don't really care. Jack, that's a pretty box, Bauer.
So it doesn't matter. All right.
You know, taken out of context, that's a pretty box is not something you want to say.
Depends on who you're saying it to.
If you're in a relationship. Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I don't even know. That's not exactly a good pickup line. You got that's a pretty box.
Yeah. Well, if you're already in a relationship, it might be a good line. You know,
oh, come here sure. often. Yeah. That's a pretty box.
I just need a greasy bone to put. Yeah, whatever.
Oh God, too far.
Yeah, we're going a little too far on this one. No wonder your show is about random shit.
No shit. Sorry. Welcome to EDP episode 94.
All right. Well, let's talk about this real quick. Let's just go into some like introduction of this concept. Jeff, you brought it up. What made you bring this topic up?
What really brought it up is basically got me thinking of when I picked up Metroid Prime Trilogy. because I had no intentions of picking it up day one at all. I had intentions of picking it up eventually down the road, like I don't, like months maybe. But when I went into EB Games, I can't remember what I went in there or GameStop to buy something or to pre-order something. I can't remember what it was. And I saw it there on the shelf. And I was like, damn, that is a sexy looking box. Because, I mean, it's a nice metal. Yeah, it's the metal special edition kind of case with the kind of the sleeve over top of it. And I was like, damn, that would look good on my shelf. Well, that's what I want, to have front-facing shelves because all I can see is the spine. But anyway.
Yeah,
I was like, that is sexy. So I went and bought it. So I was thinking, I wonder if I'm the only ridiculous person that does these kind of things. So throw it out there. that's why it came to my mind.
All right, cool. Well, I think we're gonna get a lot of mix of opinions. So let's switch over and do a voicemail real quick. If I fuck this up, I'm sorry. It's my first time doing voicemails. This is usually just
you hack.
I know. Here we go.
Hello, Interactive Distraction Crew. This is David Crashfish Light.
Oh, sorry. Wrong button.
Called it in. Haven't heard from you for a while. Had a couple shows in there that were recorded at weird times for me, and even had one that was, you know, had a feature about a Wii game. I don't know what the hell guys' problems are. The Wii actually has video games on it, but whatever. Anyway,
this is awesome.
Talking about your question of the week. Is cover art or packaging relevant to your game purchases? I want to say cover art was really relevant. I actually go for the name. Like if the name is something odd or something different, I would actually kind of look at the packaging, the back of the box or whatever.
But that's worse.
I've learned from many, many games that good box art doesn't mean good game. There's a couple of them that I can't think of for some reason or another, but I do know that, who cares about box art? It's basically the game. For packaging, I don't really know what you mean by that, but the Batman Collector's Edition, I bought that because I like the packaging and all the shit that came with it.
Then you know exactly what we're talking about.
I've never seen a game that was really packaged any different than any other game on the shelf, so can't really say anything about that.
What?
And I do have to apologize
to
Jeffy Goffy, whatever the hell his name is, when I said that I would not probably play God of War again, one or two, I did not realize that it was coming out on the PS3 with updated graphics. I will be buying that, and I will be playing it. So hats off to you, Jeffy. You have bested me.
All right, yes.
You guys, get back to your show. Have a great time. All right.
In his best.
I like that he gave you permission to get back to his show.
I know. That's
exactly.
Well, that's David.
Carry on.
You'll meet him. He'll be at Indusfest because he actually lives near us. So.
Oh, look, something just came up. Can't make it to Indusfest. Sorry, guys.
I got to walk my dog.
All right, so he talks about the name. Does the name make a difference for you guys?
That's fucking worse, dude.
I'm not a big no.
That's way worse than just buying something due to box art. Because at least you could get almost an idea, except for like Mega Man box art, maybe. You could get like some kind of idea of what the game is, but you can call anything at all. And who the fuck looks at Little Big Planet and has any fucking clue what that game's about? Let's be honest.
Or Miramasa.
Yeah,
if I knew nothing about the game and saw Miramasa on the shelf, and it, let's say it didn't have like any kind of box art that would kind of appeal to the eye, I'd be like, okay, that's probably some crappy game that's about something ridiculous. And,
more importantly, you'd say that because it says Wii on the front of it.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, no, I've never made a judgment call based on the name of something, really.
I can't say that I have in the store, but like if I'm looking down a list of games and I see something that catches eye that just looks weird, you know, I'll click on it and find out what it is. But
that's not buying it.
No.
That's a little different.
I think that overall, I don't know if this is going to be all about buying it. You know, I think it's going to be more about, you know, does it have an effect at all? And, you know, the name definitely, you know, if the name is odd or if it's something interesting, it'll get me to look at it. So it changes my perspective of how I'm looking at that particular game, because otherwise I would have just brushed by it. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of what I took of the question. So, I mean, that's kind of the way I'm thinking about it. But what about, I mean, you guys, have you ever made a judgment call based on the back of the box? What's on the back of the box?
Yeah. Oh, that's how I used to make all my judgments back when, before like magazines, before the internet existed. I would always, when I was renting a game or buying a game that I didn't really have an intention of going to the store to buy a specific game, I would look at the back of the box and basically look at screenshots, to tell you the truth. Like, the descriptions and stuff, because they don't really describe anything, really. Let's be realistic. They just try to pimp, like, you're in a fantasy world.
Yeah, exactly.
Blah, blah,
in a world where...
And it's the coolest thing you've ever seen.
Exactly. Best game ever. And you're looking at the back of the box.
It's
of, like,
amazing.
For Genesis.
Amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, but let's be honest, just to be fair, though, when Jeff talks about before the internet existed, that was 2 weeks ago in Canada. So
I had no idea what Killzone 2 was about, and I just looked at the back like, that was cool.
Well, okay, well, back of the box. Really, the only way that I can really relate with that is when I first got a PSP, I was looking for games that were infrastructure multiplayer. I didn't give a fuck what the game was about. I didn't care what it did. I wanted something I could play on the PSP with other people where they didn't have to be in the same room as me. So I was just literally scouring through GameStop for the back of boxes that said multiplayer infrastructure supported, and I would buy the game.
All right. That's fair. I mean, that's using the box to find out information to buy a game. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Not so much on the synopsis, because every game, every movie, every box of fucking cereal is amazing if you read the synopsis on the back.
Oh, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Let's do another email. Jeff, you got this one, right?
I do, apparently. Yeah. Here we go.
We hope.
Hey, Indus. It's been a while since I sent in an answer to a question of the week, so here we go. Does the cover art and packaging of a game make a difference in my gaming purchases? No, it doesn't. I buy games only by word of mouth and or demos. Some games have great artwork, but it doesn't make me want to buy it. For example, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, God of War 1 and 2. They all have great artwork, and it doesn't make you buy it, I guess he's trying to say what's on the back of the box. Well, by what back of the box says, or by what people have talked about, which makes you buy a game. If people buy games off pay games off the artwork, then no one would buy games like Grand Theft Auto 4, Left 4 Dead. I don't know about Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead is pretty cool.
I don't know about Grand Theft Auto either. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Due to the fact that their artwork is blah, shows nothing what the game is. Well, hopefully that makes sense, and keep up the amazing work. Amazing work.
That's amazing. That's an amazing email.
Thank you, Sigma.
That's brought
Omega.
To you by the amazing Sigma Omega.
Sigma amazing.
Sigma amazing.
I definitely think that people do, I mean, especially, yeah, when I was a kid, I mean, when I was a kid, I was definitely basing my game purchases off of what the box said and what it looked like.
You're also eating dirt off a stick in the backyard.
So this is like...
How did you know?
It's like, what, December?
But right now, the only time that box art really makes a difference for me is, and we kind of talked about it last week with Shane when we were talking about nostalgia's box art and the way they changed, because if the box art pops and it really gets your attention, it'll make me pick up the box and look at it, you know, and decide whether or not I want to get this game, you know. It's and the perfect example that I can think of right now is like Crystal would always, whenever we would go to GameStop, she would always get drawn to Magna Carta because the box art is fantastic and, you know.
Ooh, shiny.
Exactly. the thing is that it's like you look at the box art and the art is really, the character design is really cool and everything like that. You get the game home and it sucks ass. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that being said, like every time I go to like anywhere where I'm buying a game, I always stop and look at any game by Atlus, because they seem to put out really good cover art. And Atlus does put out some good games, but they put out some really crappy ones too. And there's a game, I don't think it's by Atlus, I don't know who it is by, it's for the 360. Oh god, I should know the name by now, because every single time I'm at a store, I stop and look at this box art, and I always look at it and be like, this seems pretty cool. Then I look at the back and like, oh yeah, this game is supposed to be really terrible. Oh, what's it called? I have to come back next week. I can't remember what it's called. But it's got like that kind of like anime kind of art on the front. It looks very Atlas-y in terms of art. It's like darks.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're not talking about Persona, are you?
That sounds incredible.
Talking about what?
You're not talking about Persona, are you?
No, definitely not Persona. No, I'm talking about something for 360.
Oh, okay.
It always catches my every single time I go into a GameStop or anywhere, like Best Buy, it always catches my eye and I always look at it. I'm like, oh yeah, I've looked at that game like a million times. I know it's supposed to be crap, but the box art is really, really good.
Yeah, yeah. It will definitely get people's attention in it. I mean, it's important. You know, it's definitely an important part of
this. That's the idea, right? I mean, it's basically marketing, front row marketing.
Pretty much.
Exactly. Then what's with one of the coolest box arts I've seen in a while? Have you guys seen the box art for Borderlands?
No.
Oh yeah, I did see that. Awesome. The 360 anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, it's probably the same for all, but it's
I would assume.
Chris, it basically has one of the characters from Borderlands, one of like the I guess the thugs, so to speak, on the cover with his hand to his head like in the shape of a gun.
Oh, okay.
And then on the other side of his head, it's like an explosion, but out of the explosion, out of the side of his head is a bunch of like, it's like a screenshot from the game.
But it's like faded into blood looking color. It's like a washed out color of it. So it looks like a blood splatter, but in the blood splatter are screenshots from the game.
Oh, cool.
And the background's all like red. It's like the Borderlands symbol, but it's kind of plain, but it's just really clever. I don't know. I thought that was really, really well done. Yeah, I might buy the game just based on that. But
you stole my joke, you bastard.
I wouldn't say, like, I don't know, Left 4 Dead, I think, would get people's attention. I mean, it shows a hand with the four, and it looks like a decrepit hand-looking thing. It's like people are always be like, oh, zombies.
Yeah, same thing as, but Dead Space had the same kind of thing, too, right, for its box.
That's right, it was like a hand, wasn't it? Like a
Floating in space.
Floating in space, exactly. Yeah. Which is pretty cool.
I actually, he mentioned GTA, and I have to agree that I actually kind of like the way they do the box art.
I've always liked it.
It has a very comic booky feel.
Like the GTA.
Yeah,
and you know what you're looking at as soon as you see that, you're like, oh, GTA game, because they're all the same.
Yeah. Absolutely. It definitely has, you know,
brand recognition.
Yeah, it's very much recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
For sure.
All right, should we do another voicemail?
Yeah, let's do it up.
Here we go.
Hey guys, Hedges 1001 calling about question of the week. Is cover art or packaging relevant to game purchases? For me, yes, if I know nothing about the game, but that's also led to some of my worst game purchases ever, like Blacksite on the PS3. Now, it was bad on 360, so they left it a few months for the PS3 to fix it. And it was still unplayable, the piece of shit. Anyway, the point is, if I know nothing about the game, the cover art is what I base it on. But then that also stopped me buying the original disc guy. So overall, it's a bad idea to judge a game by its cover art. Cheers. Bye.
All right.
Okay.
So he actually avoided a good game because of the cover art and then bought a shitty game because of it.
Some games had really crappy cover art.
Definitely agree with that.
Definitely miss.
What was said, even if you don't like the box art for GTA, because people, you know, some people won't, that doesn't make it a bad game. But if you avoid it because of the box art, well, if you avoid it because of the box art, you've probably never seen a GTA game before and you've been living under a fucking rock. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well,
what is this Grand Theft Auto you speak of?
Look at Strider for the Sega Genesis. That is some of the worst box art I've ever seen in my life. And that is
you can pretty much say that about any Sega Genesis game that came out
with that grid
background.
And a lot of the original NES
bottom.
Games, too. Yeah.
Even the original Street Fighter cover art for Super Nintendo was god-awful.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think I've probably... I'm trying to think of how many... Like, I guess since the whole internets and megas and stuff have been out there... I don't think I've turned down a good game because of cover art, because I've usually been pretty educated on what the game's going to be like. But back in the day, I'm positive I've probably missed a ton of good games based on cover art. If I recall, I'm pretty sure ActRaiser didn't have the greatest cover art in the world either. Or am I thinking of Magic Lord?
No, ActRaiser's cover art was pretty shitty, actually.
It was pretty shitty. And I'm pretty sure me and my buddy were like going to run a Super Nintendo game, but you passed that up. And then it wasn't until later where someone told us how good the game was. We went back and rented it. It was, holy crap, this game's awesome. We ended up renting something ridiculously not fun. It was like Wile E. Coyote or something like that. Or
nice.
Yeah, dude, came with the game don't talk shit about Wile E. Coyote. Come on.
The game's garbage. It was like the Roadrunner or something.
Cool. All right. Let's do another email.
Sure.
My turn, right?
Yep. Your turn.
So guess who it is, Indus? Why, it's me, Necro. Okay, we can go on to the next. Oh, okay. So I haven't had much to say in recent weeks, but this topic caught my eye. Game packaging. Yeah, it definitely affects my purchase. I usually buy CEs mainly for the fancy boxes, not to mention that I will flat out not buy a used game if the packaging is messed up and it doesn't come complete with manual and all. It's mostly me being OCD. But hey, for the most part, I take pride in my game collection. The thing that probably bothers me the most is buying a used game and finding out they put a goddamn stickers on the spine.
Oh, I fucking hate that.
Of not the case, the insert. I feel like punching kittens after trying to paint
with cones on their heads.
With cones on their heads. I couldn't get the joke out because I was reading the email. Damn it.
Score.
After trying to painstakingly peel stickers off of game case and inserts without causing too much damage. So yeah, the OCD freak in me completely... Sorry. The OCD freak in my completely... must have my games in mint shape. What did that make sense?
It's I believe it's the OCD freak in me completely must have the
okay,
games
because he
mint
says
shape.
In my okay.
Yes, he
it
does.
Happens. He's
there we go. Or else I pretty much won't bother. Even if the game I've been hunting, like Metal Gear Acid for the PSP, which is apparently only fine in shitty cases that with GameStop inserts in them. As far as the artwork itself, that usually doesn't bother me too much. If it's bad, I really don't like the new trend of fucking putting 12 languages in manuals on the back of boxes. I don't read fucking Spanish. This is America, so quit fucking up my cases, you jerks.
Yeah, try living here where everything has to be French.
Oh yeah,
and,
that's right.
English.
Absolutely.
Yeah. On a side note, if he wants any cat punching lessons, I think Scott Sauer from Welcome to the Goo might be able to. I think he's running a side business because you know he's still looking for a job. So if you could help him out, I'm sure he can work out a reasonable rate.
Cat punching for dummies. All right, so you guys OCD about your games?
I actually 100% agree with Necro. Like I am the exact same way.
I am too.
I hate the stickers a lot.
I hate the stickers. I will go to GameStop and I'll say, hey, do you have this game in? They're like, yeah, we have it used. We have it new for this much, but you can get a used copy for this. I will ask to see the disc. It could be in perfect condition. And then I'll see the box. If there's like anything, if it's not like pristine condition, like almost mint, I'll be like, I'll just take the new one.
Yeah.
I'll pay the extra $5-$10 just because I'm the exact same way. And I hate when I do buy used games, which I try not to. I sit there and scratch at the sticker. If I don't peel it off perfectly the first try, I'm like at least depressed for a good 5 minutes.
No! That drives me insane. It's like, why would you put it on the insert itself? Why not just put it on the box? That
exactly.
makes no sense
yes.
whatsoever. Drives me nuts. And I'm definitely with you. I mean, the main reason I still don't have Power Stone Collection for PSP is because I can't find the damn game with the box and everything. That's the way I like to have it.
I've gotten Goo Gone on the cases, on the plastic cases. I've gone as far as to take Goo Gone and like nail polish remover and scrub that
as
shit off.
As long as it's on the package, that's fine. But they put that shit on the insert itself now.
Yeah.
No good. You're going to be rubbing ink off of that if you try.
Yeah.
I've even had, it's ridiculous where I will get, I got UFC from, I can't remember where I bought it from, and the case was cracked.
It's funny you're still admitting that.
That I got UFC?
Yeah.
It's a good game.
Left hook.
I got the case was a little bit cracked, so I got home. Like I was actually contemplating bringing it back for that. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I won't do it. I looked for like my oldest 360 game, and I'm like, I'm just gonna. I actually changed the inserts and everything to put UFC in that one, so it wouldn't be in the cracked case.
He also held a Viking funeral for the old game, sent it off to sea, and set it on fire.
See you later, Cameo. It was a good time.
All right, another voicemail?
Yes.
Sure.
Here we go.
Hey, what up, Indus? This is Jigsaw Jr.
Hey, Jigsaw.
Calling in for the question of the week.
JSJ?
Does cover art influence a purchase? Personally, I think it doesn't, but
I think you're wrong.
Being older folks, we know the game. I would say though, for kids, it definitely does. I've seen little kids walk into the store, see a cover art with a guy with a big sword or like a fast car, all that bullshit, you know. And they see it and they want it, and it could be the most craptastic game ever, but they're gonna take it. Why? Because it looks cool on the front. So I mean, just yeah, for the older folks, it doesn't. I don't think it does. And for the youngins, well, it definitely does. That's it, you know. Thanks for having me on the show. Peace.
Thanks, Jigsaw.
Yeah, he brings up the thing about the kids again, which we talked about earlier. I definitely think it does for kids.
For sure.
I take exception to this because what the fuck game has big swords and fast cars that's craptastic? No. Sorry, fail.
God. Jigsaw, you've been proven wrong. Sorry.
Get the fuck out. I'm kidding, Jigsaw. Good point.
Yeah, no. I, like we said, all of us, like when we were younger, did the same thing. Looked at the box art, looked at the back of the cover, and all that kind of good stuff.
Let's be honest, it still kind of catches your inner child now. Every now and again, you see that looks really good, well, and I do have that extra $25 in my pocket.
That's exactly the thing. Is I do not base my I will say my impulse buys come almost 100% with packaging and stuff like that. Because I will see nice packaging, and I'll be like, damn, that's some sweet ass shit.
That's some sweet dog toss.
That's some sweet dog toss. I need to put that off my cabinet so everyone can see. But I don't know, like Fear 2. The fact that came with a little cardboard sleeve thing and had pretty cool box art, and it was on sale for $50. I'm like, I'm going to buy that game.
It was on sale for $50?
If that had shitty box art, like, I know the game's supposed to be decent. And it is good. Like I played a bit of it, but I probably never would have bought it.
I played it a little bit and then never touched it again, but damn, it looks good.
It's true. So many things, like the Gears of War 2. Like we all know I have a habit of getting limited editions and whatnot.
You? Yeah. Never.
What? Yeah. Next you're going to say you played God of War a couple times. not buying it.
Not buying it. Not buying
You'd
it.
Take that up the street and sell it somewhere else.
But I wasn't going to buy the collector's edition. Then I went there and saw it. I went to the midnight launch or whatever, and I had my pre-order for the regular. And I
went to the midnight launch or whatever. You accidentally went to a midnight launch?
Well, actually, Gears of War actually was accidental, because what happened was I wasn't going to go to it, because after I went to the Halo 3 one, and I'm like, I'm never doing this again. Just because, not that it was too crazy or nothing, I was like, I just felt like the biggest douche just standing there, like, all right, open up the fucking door. Let's get in there. Let's get our game, whatever. So I wasn't going to do it for Gears of War. Me and two of my buddies ended up going to a bar across the street, coincidentally. And then it was about 12:15. I'm like, oh, dude, I'm just going to run across the street and pick up Gears 2 because, they're open. So I was like, yeah, I can pick that up too. So I went across there, and I was going to not buy Gears, the limited edition. Then I saw it there. I'm like, that packaging is pretty sweet. Yeah, give me the limited edition. And
sucker.
Get this. I actually... Yeah, this is where it gets pretty sad.
This is where it gets pretty sad.
Gears of War 1 had a limited edition, regular edition. I really like the cover art on the limited edition. On the regular edition, it's pretty sweet. The limited edition, or special edition, because none of that shit's limited, came in like a tin. And basically the tin and the inside had like a fold over thing to hold the CD with like some art on it, whatever.
And light shining down from Jesus to to display it to you.
I actually went to the EB that I used to work for, because my manager was like still there, and I got him to give me a display case so I can actually put my disc in it, because I thought it looked better. So I have the limited edition, like the whole set thing, but I also have the disc in the actual Gears of War case because I like.
Wow.
It. Yeah.
All right, you were right. This is where it gets sad.
It gets a little bit.
I think I have to mention this. I think the weirdest thing that I've ever done with like when it comes to a box or box art was, okay, you remember the Genesis, when the Genesis, everything came in those nice plastic clamshell, you know, boxes.
And,
then 2 years before the end of the Genesis life, they switched over to those slide in and out cardboard piece of shit boxes.
I think Ultimate Mortal Kombat, I think Phantasy Star 4 were two of the first games to have that.
Yeah, Phantasy Star 4 is what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
And I got Phantasy Star 4 when I actually still worked at Swap USA, at the game store I worked at. And because I couldn't stand the fact that it was a cardboard box, I actually took one of our like replacement display boxes, like the plastic clamshells, and I cut out the Phantasy Star 4 box. I cut it up so that it would actually fit as an insert into one of those boxes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Wow. It worked.
That's something I would do, dude. Yeah. Straight up.
I was like, I want my plastic clamshell. That's what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember what I was going to say.
Well, I will instantly make Jeff feel better about the midnight launch thing. The wife and I have gone to, I think, 3 Harry Potter book midnight launches. So, yeah, pretty much. So, you can't really beat that at all. But also, sort of back on the topic, I've actually gone. I have to admit that I bought Blaze Blue because the packaging looked pretty sweet.
Oh, that's such good packaging. I like it so much. I bought it twice.
Oh my god! But I pulled a Jeff. I actually came home and said that to my wife, honey. I pulled a Jeff. And first she said, who is he, and do we need a lawyer? And I said, no. I went to GameStop just going, oh, maybe I'm going to see if they have any arcade sticks in here, and blah, 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 walk around. Ooh, is that Blaze Blue? Wow, that looks really shiny. And I, of course, being like a ferret, home in on the shiny things, like a fish coming to the lure, right on the line, buy it, get home, and go, where'd my $60 go? Fuck, I have Blaze Blue, don't I?
I remember that. You're like, yeah, I just went and bought Blaze Blue on impulse. All right.
Nice.
Like actually, 2 weeks earlier, as I'm talking about, I will never buy Blaze Blue. I'm not going to do it. Man, this game's fun.
Speaking of shiny objects, actually, Chris, you'll appreciate this one. When I had a Saturn, I went into the store, not expecting to buy a game at all. I remember I was working for... I think it might have been McDonald's at the time. I can't remember. And got paid.
Loser.
By something for and I walked in there and I was drawn to this shiny cover of a Saturn game. Like,
and it was
what
working designs, wasn't it?
It was working. It was Albert Odyssey.
Nice.
And I'm like, dude, this. I looked at the back. I'm like, this looks like kind of like Final Fantasy-ish. I am buying this. Didn't read a review or nothing. I'm just like, it looks freaking awesome. I bought it. And actually, the game was pretty good. So I enjoyed it. So yeah. It worked out in my favor, but that was a shiny thing that has caught my eye.
I was going to bring up Working Designs eventually. I mean, that's one of the things that got me really into their games was how pristine their packaging was and how much work they put into it. And the full-color full-color instruction manuals with the embossed titles on the front and shit like that. I mean, that was good stuff. And mm-hmm. they really set the bar super high when it came to packaging of a normal game, you know, of not a special edition, because even their normal games had the full color manuals. It had like, you know, like for Sega CD, I think the original Lunar for Sega CD had like 2 or 3 different disc art that they had. And then if you look at Silver Star Story for the PS1, there was like 8, I think Shane said last week. I mean, they set the bar so high, and I can't even imagine anybody getting back there.
And that's what you pay for these days.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, let's do another email.
I think it's Glenn's turn. Yeah, it's Glenn's turn.
Don't make us cry.
Hang on. Me. Okay, sorry. Do my warm-ups. Good question, guys. We'll respond. As a gamer, doing a decent amount of research before purchasing a game is a vital part of my buying process. Of all the things I spend time looking into, the cover art is not one of them. This is quite simply because the proverbial judging a book by its cover applies to games as well. An example of this might be Killzone 2. I spent an eternity checking this game out before ultimately purchasing it. I had to decide if I was going to break my gaming habits and put down $60 on a game that wasn't an RPG. I concluded that there were enough parts of this game that sounded interesting enough for me to venture into unknown territory, and I'm glad I did. Now, if cover art had been a factor in my decision, I'd probably have avoided the game. I'll be frank, the cover art, at least for the American version, looks like someone spent 4.5 minutes wanking around in Photoshop. for a game that is so ridiculously polished to have such hideously non-representational, don't type words that big anymore, cover art is a shame, but it didn't stop me from buying it. There's still more. All this being said, I still get angry when I see bad cover art. Example, back when I lived in England, I was always tempted to buy Ico, but never did on account of me being a douchebag. At least you cop to it, man. At least you cop to it. However, I was always attracted to the beautiful EU cover art. Skip forward a few years, and I found myself completing Shadow of the Colossus. This persuaded me to go into GameStop and buy Ico. Imagine my horror when I saw a malformed CG render of Ico and Yorda. I was utterly depressed that, oh my god, I'm not even going to read that. Painting this had been stripped off and replaced with mongoloids. This goes for many other games. However, despite my bitching, I bought it. So, to reiterate, only the incredibly shallow would judge something by face value, even though I just said I did. Spend some time to get to know the game on the inside before taking a plunge. Given the choice of experiencing an incredibly game... Let me read this correctly. Given the choice of experiencing an incredible game and something that would merely be aesthetically pleasing on a shelf, well, the choice is obvious. Thanks, chaps! Keep up the good work.
That was from Matt Hodgkins, by the way.
Matt Hodgkins. I appreciate you taking the time to
from VGeeva?
Read that.
Is that who now?
I'm just guessing because he said when I lived in England. I'm pretty sure United Legend used to live in England, then he moved somewhere in the States. But I could be way off.
I think he does still live in there, because isn't that the whole premise behind the Duke Nukem Forever Region Lock podcast?
Oh, that's right. But who was the guy we're talking about who someone lives somewhere in the States?
In Maryland, that's Bleak Harvest.
Bleak Harvest. That's who I think it might be, actually. Bleak Harvest, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe, but I could be way off.
Well, thanks, might be Bleak Harvest. Appreciate the email.
All right, have you ever skipped a game because it had bad cover art?
I never skipped one because it had bad cover art. I mean, I've only had the positive aspect of, oh, that looks pretty, and picked it up, and either getting lucky and going, oh, awesome, that game was great, or fuck, why did I spend $60 on this big, fat, dog-tossed piece of shit?
Yeah, and like I said, when I was younger, I probably did a lot, but now I'm pretty sure, like, at least when I'm buying a game, that I usually read up on it. To these points now, so lately definitely not. I remember Ico had really terrible. Actually, Ico's
the American box art was really shitty.
Was garbage. I remember when I first started working at EB, a lot of people were trading that game in. I guess because people were done with it or whatever, and now you can't find it anywhere. But we were literally selling them for like ridiculously cheap because we had so many of them. And I just remember being like, this game, like, what is this? Why do some people have this? And I was not into the whole, like, I had a hiatus from gaming from a little bit. And right when I started to get back into it, that's when I started working for EB. So I had no history at all. I didn't know anything about Ico. And then, I was like, what, this game looks like crap by the box art anyway.
Yeah.
But so I would have missed that if I didn't read up about it like later, which I still have not played that much of it at all. But the fact that, It kind of turned me off a little bit. But I guess that's probably the most recent one, I guess, that I can think of.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think it was just when I was younger. I don't think I've actually passed up on anything recently that I can think of. But agreed, the Ico box art for other territories was significantly better than the crap that the U.S. got, that's for sure.
All right,
let's do another voicemail. This is a question.
Go for it.
No, the box set has no effect on my gang purchases. I would like it to look nice, but if it looks like crap, it really doesn't matter because it sits in my shelf sideways, so I only see the spine anyway. I buy games to be played, not to be looked at.
That was from Repeat.
That sounds familiar. Repeat.
Thank you, Repeat. I don't know what we need to comment about that.
No, that's exactly what I said earlier. I'm like, I need to have like some big, huge shelves. I can put everything facing like outwards. Yeah. But no, I'm only looking at the spine of all my games. Like, I really don't really care.
Yeah. Well, then you wouldn't be able to live in that house because you'd have to have the games all next to each other. You couldn't have them
so
stacked deep at all.
True.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. The whole point of having, having box art is to catch someone's eye on the shelf when they're about to buy it. I mean, that's the entire thing. So, it's, I can understand why for instance, Ignition wanted to change Nostalgia's box art because the brown is not eye-catching. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's do another email. Jeff.
Let's do it. Oh, is it up to me now?
Yeah, you're up.
Son of a bitch.
With your do it crap. You do it.
All right. Well, sorry. Well, hello there, Larry, Curly, and Mo. So, which one's Glenn? Since
I was about to say, well, which one's any of them? They don't.
I don't know, but you're gonna
pair them up.
One of them, but hope this email finds you well. For me, the box art does affect my game purchase a lot. I will routinely pick a game with any good cover design over crappy cover design almost every time when I purchase a game, because I do not want some ugly ass box sitting on my shelf.
Now, that I can't see.
Now, when renting a game, I could care less about what the cover art looks like. Well, there is my short but sweet answer. Ken, Serious Cross and VG Evo. P.S. Enter me for the GOG contest.
No, won't do it.
Glenn luckily, says it's not up to Glenn. It's up to me.
Son of a entered. Bitch. Damn.
So that's kind of a different take that pretty much most people are saying. Well, he's saying that...
That it does matter.
Yeah, he's saying it does matter. Now, I'm not sure if he means... For stuff
and
that
he doesn't care
know.
When he's renting the game. You know, you'd think it'd be the opposite effect, you know?
Well, I think because he's renting it, he's not having the game on a shelf, though.
Right.
He just takes it
making
the shelf and playing it. And,
so he's thinking for the collection's sake.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's funny he should bring up renting a game, because I was just going to say, one of the games I rented for the PS1 is pretty much my first foray into RPGs was Legend of Legaia.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and that had some pretty shitty box art, actually.
It wasn't great, but it wasn't, you know, horrible. I was like, all right, some chick, some stoic-looking dude, and a guy with a dagger on his arm. I'm all about this. Let's play it. And it summed it up pretty well. Was not disappointed. Yeah. That's basically the game. Yeah. Which I still haven't beat in it, so if anybody has a copy and they'd like to sell me, go ahead and let me know. I'll pick that up from you.
thinking back to some, like, Saturn and PS1, even, I would say box art and packaging didn't really start to get consistently good till like PS2. Maybe even Dreamcast.
Here's one of the things that I wanted to mention is I'm still trying to figure out like when games have like really fantastic box art for other territories, Japan for instance, why they insist on changing it to something crappy and bland.
Because
here's my perfect example.
Okay.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Did you ever see the box art for the Japanese one?
Yeah, isn't it Alucard?
It's
front?
Alucard, like hand-painted, and it's just friggin' beautiful. And they made it the stupid-ass castle on the American one. And it's like, why would you do that?
I think it's all... Not marketing,
yeah, that
it's
is
all
pretty
focus
shitty
group
difference.
Stuff. Yeah, I think because us, though, cool doesn't mean casual market and the grand scheme of things cool.
Well, but it's not even eye-catching, though. Like, if you're looking at focus groups and marketing, some fucking castle getting struck by lightning is like, who gives a shit?
Exactly.
Just saying.
Yeah.
And then this awesome hand-drawn figure. I just
totally
looked up
agree.
Both of them looking at them, and that's way more eye-catching.
Oh, yeah. I actually have the Japanese version of the game in my collection. That's how I bought it. And that's like a game that you do want facing outward. Because it does look that good.
It looks awesome.
It's like a painting. And the title of the game is kind of, you can't really see what it is exactly at first, which is better because then somebody walks over and picks it up to say, what game is this?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Versus Castle, Struck by Lightning, Castlevania,
but
and shitty, shitty font
at the same
and
time,
yellow.
A lot of people in North America, sadly, are afraid of like anime-type style or Japanese-type style drawings. They'll see it. They'll be like, oh, that's going to be some crap that's way over my head or I'm just not going to understand anyway. And they're not going to look at it. I think that's maybe where they're mostly coming from with the focus groups. Because, I mean, we think it's cool, but I honestly think like a lot of people see that kind of thing and they're like, meh, it's not for me.
Plus, that's what the GameStop employee told them. They said, oh, no, that's some Japanese shit. It's way over your head, dude.
Exactly. Yeah. For real.
You don't want that Japanese shit. You want Smash Brothers. No. Wait, hang on. What?
You want Gears of War.
Wait,
that's chainsaws and blood.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you guys comfortable?
Yep.
You got another voicemail. Yep. This is kind of a long one.
All right.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey, it's Brian, Taryn from the board. I'm just calling up to answer the question, if it's not too late. Does the cover art and packaging of a game make a difference in your game purchases? Personally, I think it can. but I always look on the back to see what the actual gameplay looks like. And I just doubt that, like, Iron Sword pushed a ton of copies of Fabio gracing his cardboard. Personally, I think that when it comes to art and packaging, I'm reminded of working designs and, you know, how they were always all about it. I mean, they would take it to the next level, and it's sad that they're no longer in business because I haven't seen another company put out a video game with bells and whistles into the actual packaging. I mean, you see that some of them do toys, which is fine, but like leather-bound, full-color instruction booklets and cloth maps aren't really the norm. As far as current art, I'm disappointed that, like, crap games can have gorgeous covers. I mean, it's like I see something new on the front, like an anime shot or something usually captures my eye. And then I look on the back and it looks like it's another cookie-cutter grid-based strategy game or a JRPG port that's so linear. It reminds me of Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. But then, you know, when you think back on the classics from, like, the Nintendo days, Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2, which I think was just called Link, I'm not sure. But those are both, you know, they were gold cartridges.
Yep.
So that was appealing to the eye. And, it, well,
and I wanted those.
The second one, but the first one was a pretty good game. Or that, like, you know, you look at Mega Man, the cover of that was horrendous.
That was horrible.
But it ended up being one of the well, longest-running franchises, that's for sure. Right up there with Mario. My personal favorite is Kid Mickey, the Radical Ninja. I have to describe it to you if you guys don't remember or know of this cover art. You really got to look it up to look at it. It's just crazy. It's basically a buff Asian man with a bloody sword and a rat tail.
It's that it is.
A woman tied to a pole. There's an executor swinging a flail right above a caterpillar monster, and it looks to be a troll wizard with a mohawk.
Yes, it does.
It's surrounded by a pink border, and the title logo reminds me of Saved by the Bell. So, in closing, due to the deceptive nature of cover art, if the cover art grabs my eye or something, I'll always turn it over and look in the back. And if that doesn't clear things up, I'll check out a gameplay video on YouTube or something before I make the purchase, because I think we've all been screwed over by cover art, or at least those that aren't more guarded have purchased shit games because of what the cover looks like, or because of what was on the back, or were led to believe by the packaging. All right,
damn the man.
That's all I wanted to say, and I hope you guys have a great episode. Bye.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Who was that again?
That was Ryan. Taryn from VG Evo.
Oh, okay, cool.
Dude, that Kid Nicky cover is fucking ridiculous.
It's horrible.
Dude, Chris just sent us a, as we were going through that voicemail, he actually just sent us a pic of that.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
It is terrible.
And bright pink.
Crap. Have you guys ever played Kid Nicky?
No.
I the name sounds familiar. I don't know if I ever played it, though.
Kid Nicky is actually a pretty fun game. It's like a platformer. And as you're running through it, you're defeating enemies by spinning your sword, basically.
Okay.
And it literally, it looks like he's throwing out this, like, spinning blade. And this box art is not any representation whatsoever about this game.
I was about
game.
To say, as is indicated by the bright pink box art with the rat-tailed buff ninja. I have to totally 100% agree on the Saved by the Bell reference, by the way.
Absolutely.
Holy shit.
Yeah, seriously.
When
people wonder why
Data
East isn't in business
anymore.
I just sent you guys. I found the game I was talking about on EB Games. It's called Spectral Force 3.
Okay.
I just sent you guys a
link. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Totally badass cover art. It is by Atlas.
Oh, by
actually.
Atlas.
They did publish
it.
But it, like he was saying, or I was saying, it is one of those generic, I think, grid-based strategy RPG games.
Well, that could be good or bad, you know. It depends if you like that kind of game.
Oh, the fact that it's $17.99 or $19.99.
That's what's really making you want to buy it, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't picked that up yet, actually, Jeff. Well, it was on sale, and it looks good, really though, pretty.
It's shiny. But, T, it was only $20. All right, so he brought up Working Designs again, too. So, I mean, I really doubt we're going to see another company do the kind of things that, that Working Designs did. Unless Victor Island's new company eventually makes a game. What's it called? Gadgetworks. And unless they actually make a game, I don't think we're ever going to see that kind of packaging again. And it's really sad because, I mean, like, with the Lunar games and with Ark the Lad on PS1, I mean, they did come with those, like, 100-and-something page leather hardbound instruction manuals that were fully color. And it was just amazing.
Well, I guess the closest thing to that, I guess, like the Blaze Blue Limited Edition was same price as regular. And that came, like, stacked at the tits with good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. That's the closest that we've seen to something like that, I think. Mainly because of the fact that it was regular price.
Yeah.
It was good stuff.
True that.
All right, we're almost done. So I wanted to make sure that everyone got credit for sending in stuff because we had a lot of good emails and stuff. So this is our last email.
I believe you're up to bat on that one.
I am up to bat on this one. Hey, guys. As always, I'll just get to the question. When I was younger, I definitely think box art might have influenced my purchase of a particular game or two. This was, however, before internet and all the videos and previews that we get today. Now, as an older and experienced gamer, box art has no influence on my buying decision. I care about the gameplay, story, music, graphics. I am interested in the game and not the cover art for the box of the game. Now, don't get me wrong. I do like to see cool and good-looking box art. When a company is pumping what is now millions of dollars into making these games, they shouldn't shy away from paying artists and designers to make good cover art. Because I'm sure for some people, cover art does make a difference, and it could help sell that game to that person. Overall, this generation, I have been pretty pleased with the art on box covers. Well, that's all I got. That's all I got. Until next time. Later, Tom. P.S.
Two.
It's thinking.
I picked mine up pre-order system yesterday.
Two.
Should it really be like it's thinking, though? Since it's two, should it be like it's already been thought?
Thought.
Yeah, it's been thought.
It could tell you it's thinking, but it already thought it, and the fact that it thought it was thinking would think that you died.
It's thinking about the future, and it already knows what's going to happen to you.
Dreamcast. Two.
Two. Ah, I love that shit. All right. We've covered pretty much everything we can cover on this one. So, I mean, right now we're just kind of reiterating all the same stuff. But I really think that for the most part, the biggest thing about box art is you know, trying to get people to pick up the game and at least look at it rather than actually trying to get people to buy it. So, and he goes into that too.
Yeah, I think my last point basically for people who don't go on the interwebs and read magazines. Like, I see people all the time at EB, Best Buy, wherever, looking at games based on the cover, and I want to be that guy to be like, you don't want to play that. It's garbage. Yes, I know you picked it up because it's a good cover, but don't play that. You want to play this. But it looks like crap. Don't trust me. Just friggin' it's a good game.
How many little kids run out of GameStop screaming, I need an adult, when Jeff walks up? hey, kid, don't play that. It's crap. I got something for you to play. Awesome. Come over my house.
You want
to
play Imagine? You want to play Imagine Neighbor? Here you go.
All right, well, we have one more voicemail before we wrap this guy up. So here we go.
Hey, Interactive Distractions. This is Zerk. You probably know me as Omri. Vice versa.
I know you, Omri.
To answer your question of the week, is cover art or packaging relevant for your gaming purchases? Not really. I mean, like, I consider myself a hardcore gamer, meaning that I read reviews, I read previews, I watch a lot of news, and I watch a lot of listen to a lot of podcasts like yourselves, so. For my view, it's not necessarily something that I consider, but I could say that when I was younger, when I bought The NES or SNES cartridges and games, we didn't have that stuff. So, yeah, when I was younger, definitely. But right now, on modern time, no, I don't think so. I think that for hardcore gamers or pretty much knowledgeable gamers, I don't think it's necessary. It may be good looking to the casual person who sees something like Borderlands with a great cover art.
Mm-hmm. And indeed.
This could be pretty cool. This could look pretty fun. But I think for the hardcore gamers as a whole, I don't think it's very prominent to be something that necessary. So my answer to my question is no. In the West, even though I'm not near the U.S. as you know me, but sure, in this past for the win, man.
All right, Indisfest.
Keep on rocking, man.
Indisfest.
All right, so I have to say this while we were going through some emails and voicemails and stuff like that, I did look up the cover art for Borderlands. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, isn't it?
That
cool,
is pretty badass. That would definitely make me pick up that game and say, "What is this?"
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And that's exactly what they're trying to get you to do when you go into the store. They're trying to make you pick up their game and say, "What is this?" You know,
and it's got a guy with a gun with basically blowing a hole through his head, and that's what North America looks
gun.
For. That's what America looks for.
It's not even that though. I mean, it's just his hand, right? It's not even a gun, and then it's very creative the way they made the blood splatter, what would have been the blood splatter,
it's violent without being violent.
Exactly.
Right.
And they're showing you part of the game. It reminds me of, like, you know, those pictures that look like something, but when you get really close to them, they're actually like smaller, like screenshots
right.
of other things. It kind of reminds
kinda
me of something like
picking
that.
Up a girl at the bar when you're hammered.
Exactly.
Yeah. No?
Good from far, but far from good. Yeah, I know that one.
Oh man. All right. Well, Let's wrap up then. Jeff, why don't you wrap up real quick?
Yeah, when I was younger, it totally made a difference, 100%, unless I knew, like, Strider, I knew the game was good, whatever. It made a total difference in what I was renting, sometimes when I was buying. These days, it doesn't make a difference on how good it is or how bad it is and whether or not I'm going to be interested in the game, but it will make a difference on whether I'm going to upgrade to, like, a limited edition or something like that, or it might speed up the process of me buying a game I would normally wait on. Which is ridiculous, because the cover art's going to say the same no matter what I buy.
No, I need it now! They might change it!
Yeah, and like Necro said, I'm very OCD when it comes to having the packaging. Like, even when I had a modded PS1 back in the day, yes, I had a modded PS1. Oh, boy. I never burnt one game besides the initial ones I had and the Metal Gear Solid, which I bought anyway when it came out, because I told the story about when I made my own cover art for that game. When we were talking about nerdy moments.
That's right, I remember that.
Gaming history. Yes. And I just couldn't bring myself to burn games because I always wanted the original packaging and the instruction manual and everything with it. So it does have an effect on my purchases, but not for what games I'm going to buy, mostly what version I'm going to buy how soon I buy the game.
Cool.
I am sad.
All right, Glenn, you want to throw out a wrap-up real quick?
Yeah, sure. All right, well, I think everybody's kind of on the same page of, when you were younger, it made a much bigger difference because, you know, you're more wrapped up in the superficial, this, that, and the other. You care less about how the game played, more about the game looked, and really just about being cool in front of your friends. So none of it really mattered anyway. But, you know, I think a lot of the times us as the hardcore gamer forget that we're not necessarily the target audience. We're not even the majority buyer of most of this garbage, you know? Hence why the Wii outsells everything, because it's the cheapest thing. Grandma picked it up, whatever. So anything that helps any publisher bankroll games that I like, I'm not opposed to. So, yeah, put out the flashy cover art for crappy games. I don't care. Dupe some poor schmuck into buying some garbage game so that I can buy the next God of War. I really don't care. So,
which has great cover art.
By the way.
Bringing it all around, Jeff. You're the king of segues.
Well, I'm pretty much with you guys.
Yeah.
You know, when it was definitely a factor when I was a younger gamer, but now it's more about what I know about the game and you know, seeing previews and reviews and videos and stuff like that. And you know, cover art will definitely make me pick up a game and pay attention to it if it really stands out. But that's not what's going to make me buy the game, unless it's working designs and it's got amazing packaging.
Hell, dude, the packaging for the TE sticks for Mad Catz arcade sticks, that got me my first impulse buy. And I didn't need an arcade stick at the time, but the guy was like, I was like, hey, is that the PS3 TE stick? Because I've never seen one source for it. He's like, yeah. I held it up and like opened up the flip panel, like front of it, and I was like, oh.
I'm like, angels oh, sang awesome. On high.
And bought.
All right, cool.
On a related story, Tanya beat Jeff in the head with a TE stick later yep, that night. Right.
Not that one. That was when I bought my second one.
Jesus.
You did what? Rent's due in 2 days, you son of a bitch.
I got you a PS3 Slim. Does that make it better?
What? I got issues.
All right. Let's okay. do some re-releases. We're getting pretty long here, so.
This could be for a record here.
Yeah, well, not quite, but we're getting close.
No, I don't think so.
All right, so we got an email, a voicemail from Repeat, so here we go. Okay.
Way to go, Chris. That was awesome.
All right, that was Repeat. Way to go, man. Thanks for
the voicemail.
I was going to
say, that's you can't even blame Jason for not being here for that one, because that's all you. Oh, no, wait, Jason does handle that one, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, actually.
He does push the play button on that, so yeah.
Oh, man. All right, let's try this again.
Okay, there's really only two games that really interest me this week, and that's Mario & Luigi Bowser's Inside Story for the DS. If it's anything like their other Mario & Luigi RPGs for the handhelds, it should be fantastic.
It looks
and
gross.
Scribblenauts. Still not totally convinced about that game. It looks pretty damn awesome, and I'm sure it's going to be fun to muck around and break. I just don't see where the game part comes in, but whatever. And there's some other crap, but I don't really care about that. So, yeah.
The box art sucks. Fuck it.
Oh, wow. That was awesome. All right. Well,
when are we going to make Repeat the like official, unofficial fourth in this?
I knew he was going to mention those two games.
As though that matters.
Let me blitz down the rest of the crap that's coming out next week.
All right.
NHL, this is for PS3, NHL 10.
Are you going to say NHL 10 is crap?
Yes. Move on.
Oh, you didn't go. Oh, there's going to be some
go curl up with your maple leaf tonight. God.
Shit.
Cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
Yeah, you're fucking cloudy with a face of meatballs.
With your what? Mom's cloudy with a chance whatever. Of meatballs. You can't even say it, you French Canadian bastard.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, Wet, Heroes Over Europe, Tornado Outbreak, NHL 2K10, Pinball Hall of Fame, Williams Collection, and that will do it for the PS3. PSP, Need for Speed Shift, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Mitren Wars, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and that's PSP. PS2 is getting NHL 2K10 and Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. 360.
That's coming out of PS2. Okay.
NHL 10, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Tornado Outbreak, NHL 2K10. Why do they say that like that? It's getting old now. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, Heroes Over Europe, Wet, Need for Speed Shift. For the Wii, man. Let's see, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Toy Story Mania, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Tornado Outbreak, NHL 2K10, Walk It Out. And
why is there not a million jokes for Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Because it's a movie.
Like, that should be like the easiest one.
It's just a movie tie-in game.
I know, but the name.
I'll give you a chance of meatballs.
I don't want that chance, Glenn. I really don't.
I have that than the meat stick. You know what I'm saying?
I'll put it in a nice package too.
We'll grease up that box.
Oh, God. This is crazy. I'm so
late,
glad we're
ladies and
done.
Gentlemen.
All right. Along with, I'm trying to find something on DS that's worthy of actually saying something about.
Any pets games?
No, there's no. But there's a My Boyfriend game. There you go, Glenn.
Oh,
how's
nice.
That?
Marquee's all over that one.
Let's see. Pranked.
Yeah, there's a My Boyfriend game. It's called Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is coming out next week for the DS. they have a Naruto game coming out next week, Bleach game coming out, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, And that's about it. He mentioned Scribblenauts and Mario and Luigi, and those are the two big ones for DS next week.
Yeah, the first Scribblenauts review is not that good.
Really? What's it from?
It was on. It's actually from. Do you guys remember Electric Playground? Well, do you remember? It's still on, obviously.
Do you remember?
I don't.
Have you guys heard of the show?
No.
No?
No.
You know who Victor Lucas is?
No.
No. Tommy Tallarico?
I know who that is.
He used to do a show with Victor Lucas. He's actually Canadian. That's probably why I haven't heard of it. But it's Electric Playground. They actually gave the game, I think it was like a 6 or something. They basically say the idea of the game is awesome, phenomenal, but the controls are apparently terrible when you're actually playing it.
Oh, really?
So I'm going to keep my... Yeah, it was originally going to be a day one purchase just because of how awesome it looked, but yeah.
Now you're kind of backing away and waiting for it.
Yeah, because they were saying it's actually like really clunky.
Hey, I'm just reading just now, Jeff. Victor Lucas posted up on there saying that they reviewed the wrong copy, so maybe you ought to wait a minute and go back to it. They said they're reviewing a copy that they didn't want them to review, so go check it out again in like a week.
Alrighty. Cool. Well, that's
good deal.
I thought you were going to come out with some like smart ass comment like,
no,
Victor Lucas told you to
helpful.
Shut the fuck up.
I thought he was too, man. I was waiting for
Victor Lucas
like...
just called and said, cloudy with a chance of my meatballs, bitch.
Meatballs on your chin, you Canadian bastard.
It only took Glenn 2 hours to say something serious.
The magic of beer.
All right, well, that is your new release list, so what do we got for Pick of the Week?
This is tough, man. It actually is for me, but you guys can go first, because I'm the only one who thinks it's
going
to be
I'm
tough.
Going with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
what platform? Commodore 64?
All of them.
On all
if I could get it for the N-Gage, I would like to pick it up for that.
Can I get it for the game.com? Can I get it for that?
Probably.
I'm going to go with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2.
Ooh.
Actually, I'm going to go with Wet for serious. I'd like to get Wet.
Okay. Wet? I played the demo. It's not bad.
Face isn't bad.
Oh, man. Because Need for Speed Shift looks freaking awesome.
It does look pretty beautiful.
I really am hearing good things.
But my wife's a Need for Speed fanatic, too, so I might be able to justify the purchase.
There you go. You know, I'm going to have to go with Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 as well. Because, I mean, the first one was good. The second one's got to be better, right? I mean, come on.
Because it's got a 2 in it.
Online.
Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Have you seen
2?
Jesus, yeah, 2.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's get some...
Maybe Scribblenauts, depending on the review.
Maybe Scribblenauts, all right. Let's do some emails. Regular
mails.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. Are we going to go back and forth in these two?
Let's go back and forth in these. Who wants to start in this one?
Someone else, because apparently my Gmail closed.
I read the last Jack Bauer mail. I'll do it again.
All right, go for it.
All right. Throughout your whole gaming life, what would you say was the worst experience? Win a game. I think he means in. I'm not sure. And also, what game series would you like to wipe out of existence? Signed, Jack, if you hang up, I will kill you, Bauer. P.S., can I have another free game, please? Send from my iPod.
So I guess that means he wants to be inducted into the contest.
Yep, and he's in there.
Yay.
And I guess that was a phone booth reference.
Yeah, stop watching Phone Booth,
way
Jack.
Way too fucking much.
It's not that good. It's not bad, but it's not that good.
Well, it's
only
like 40 minutes long, so you can watch it like 4 times in the span of a movie.
It's like watching an episode of Firefly.
Yeah.
Same length.
All right, so what would you say is your worst experience?
Let me explain my joke.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know.
You can look at it so many different ways. I can tell you the recent one that pissed me off the most, I guess, was... There's two, actually. Two is playing Final Fantasy XII. I got to a part where I was way under-leveled, and I couldn't go back, and my save point was right before, like, a basically important kind of, like, boss battle. Not really, it was like a sub-boss battle. And I just kept getting my ass kicked over and over again to the point where I was like, fuck it, I have to start all over again, because I have to do this properly and level up my guys properly. So
ouch.
I had to play about 8 hours of Final Fantasy XII all over again to get to that point. Which I'm only a little bit past there and haven't moved. And the other similar thing, Knights of the Old Republic for Xbox. I had that glitch where if you have that girl and if you have her invisible in your party and it goes to the cutscene, the game doesn't recognize her as being there, so it just freezes.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't have a save point for about a good 4 hours ahead of that time. So I had to play through an entire 4 hours again just to get there.
Ouch.
And I hate replaying stuff in role-playing games unless I'm replaying it for nostalgia.
All right.
And which means the first 20 minutes of a game.
I can't even think of anything right now.
Well, I've got one.
Go for it.
Back in the NES days, do you guys remember the Tiny Toon Adventures game on the NES?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At all? I was playing that, and I got all the way to the very, very, very end, and my dad walked up and says, "All right, we got company coming over," and unplugged the bitch.
Oh,
okay.
Just grabbed the plug right out of the wall.
Dad's story. Okay, this is a story.
I got a dad story.
Me and my
story.
Buddy. Oh, this is embarrassing. I had a buddy of mine lived across the street. Tinez, we'll call him. And his name was Martin. We just called him Tinez. Yeah. Fuck Martinez. We're old. Whatever. Old rap scott. So he got Mario Paint for the Super Nintendo. So his place. And we start off just, you know, doing little kind of animations that are kind of innocent and whatever. And of course, like any kind of drawing thing on anything, whether it's PictoChat, friggin'
MS Paint.
Here comes
the penis.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to start drawing penises, and then you're going to start labeling people, like people you don't like in school and stuff, like getting it right up the bum by like this gigantic, like, vein thing. And we started
cloudy with a chance of dicks.
Drawing it. Yep.
With a chance
and
of
then
penis.
His dad walks down and is like, "What is this?" They're Czechoslovakian, so. Like, what's going on
here?
So and I was sitting there. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, oh, my God. Do I run out the front door? Do I point and say he did it? I didn't know what to do, but it was embarrassing as hell. And one to Mario Paint, I don't know how old I was. I was freaking young as crap. And I'm just like, this is a very, very stressful moment. Please, someone shoot me in the face.
Jeff, no more Czechoslovakian accents for you, please.
But that was pretty embarrassing. And yeah.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
I could see that. Technically, that wasn't a game, though. It's more of an experience, you know, like
that
Flower.
That is true. That is true. It wasn't that amazing, but
no. All right. What game series would you have wiped out of existence?
Guitar Hero.
See, I was going to say that. But see, the problem is that without
Guitar Hero 2,
we wouldn't have Rock Band.
There'd be no Rock Band. All right, fair enough. We'll skip that. No Guitar Hero. Guitar Hero stays.
Guitar
Hero 2.
Guitar Hero 3 and on can be erased from existence as far as I'm concerned.
Apparently 5 is really good. But
how about the Pets games?
Oh, there you go.
Can they all go, please?
That's a cop-out, though. That game, you don't play those games. I was like, if you had to pick a game
all right.
that you play,
that
or at
I
least
played?
You played, or even a series that you might not enjoy but is very popular, what would you wipe out? Sorry, I'm changing your question a little bit, Jack, but, you know, I don't want people sitting on the fence on this one.
Right.
I'm going to get thrashed for this.
Huh.
Halo.
Oh, God.
I knew you were going to say Halo. And
yeah, that would clean up Xbox
Live a lot.
If there
was no Halo, there'd be no
Killzone.
There'd be no Resistance. There'd be no Call of Duty.
Are you kidding me?
And
of course
you know what?
There would. They'd be
none
better.
Of that would bother me at all. None of that would bother me at all.
Well, but technically, again, that falls on the I don't play any of those games.
Exactly.
Line,
wow,
right?
Have you actually played a Halo game for more
so
than 5 minutes?
So let's turn around, Jeff. You turn around and say Phantasy Star, and then you guys get in a slap fight. It'll be awesome.
Meanwhile, he's playing Order of Ecclesia right now.
Yeah, I wouldn't say Castlevania. It's
Castlevania
tough for
sucks.
Me,
oh, hang on.
If I could wipe,
point.
You know.
All right, here's.
I don't want to.
There's only a single game. All right, but actually, this will go with my worst experience in a game as well. Beyond the
all
Beyond
right.
for PS1. I wish I could just erase that from
okay.
existence.
Didn't like it too much.
It was the first RPG that ever came out for the PS1, and I was craving an RPG so bad that I bought it. And it was the absolute worst RPG I have ever fucking played. It was just horrible. Absolutely horrible.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay.
Glenn? Do you ever say yours? No, you did post whatever.
Yeah.
Wipe out any series. Holy crap.
You know, I think I gotta say Smash Brothers Brawl. The whole Smash
like
Brothers
Smash
series.
Brothers wow, series, really?
I'm not a fucking fan. I'm not a fan of the Smash Brother homeboys that hang out with their backwards hats or upside down visors and their popped collars and natty ice. Get the fuck out of here. I just don't like the Smash Brother people, man. I went to a community college and people would bring their GameCubes and hook it up to the TV and hijack them to play Smash Brothers between classes. It's just not healthy. Get out of here. Stop it. It's not that good of a game. I played it a few times and I'm just like, what's the fuss, man? It's you're button mashing at best and you're not actually doing any damage. It's not fun to watch. Stop it. Just stop. Fuck, I feel like the marquee. I need to shut up now.
Oh shit.
Oh, good
stuff. I'm going to go ahead and even though I enjoyed the third game of the series, even the second, I'm going to say Tekken.
Duh.
I think if Tekken was wiped out, Virtua Fighter would have got a much bigger following because it is a better game than Tekken, in my opinion.
It's definitely
a strategical wipeout.
Oh, yeah. And I know Eddie Kusanagi is probably going to give me shit for this, but I don't know. I think Virtua Fighter would have got way more appreciation and way more of a... It would have got a bigger following if Tekken wasn't around, because Tekken was more accessible, and I think that's kind of what took away from it.
I know Pigpen just sneezed somewhere. That's like his favorite fucking fighting game. He's all, oh, Tekken's coming out, Tekken! No, 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 no.
I was really big into Tekken, but it just got, it was too much for me after a while, because, once they made it so that you could juggle someone until they were dead, I was like, I'm done, so... Yeah. Wow, good stuff. All right. Jeff, you got the next
one. Once I had a girlfriend that schooled me at Tekken, I said, no, I'm not playing it anymore.
All right, here we go.
This one's from Necro, though, by the way.
This from Necro?
Yeah.
Because there's no name on this one, so... All right, this from Necro. So, pretty much everyone has been playing Batman. Talking about Batman, that's pretty obvious.
What?
Okay. And as I did rent it, good game. But I'm basically writing this because, well, there was another game that launched the same day that I've been playing like crazy. And what game is that? Dissidia, Final Fantasy for PSP. Oh, that's right. I'm about 40 hours put into this game. What the hell have you been doing? Most I've put in any other portable game ever. So anyways, here are the quick sales pitch because I want to do my all to promote this game. And it's good and Batman completely overshadowed it. All right. Scroll down. Dissidia is basically a quasi-3D fighter / RPG hybrid. Think an arena-style brawler like, say, Power Stone with Final Fantasy characters and Fallout 3's take on combat. Listening.
What?
And what I mean by that is the combat is real-time, but everything is governed by stats. Okay. There's equipment to collect and make, summons, abilities, etc. The gameplay is very deep after you get into it, and it boasts a 15-chapter worth of story mode content upon tons of other
moments. Oh my god.
That's crazy. There's a demo up in PSN... Oh, is it really? There's a demo up in PSN Store, and it's just everyone tried out. But keep in mind, the demo was very limited taste in what this game has to offer. I would really like to urge everyone to give it a try, especially if you're a Final Fantasy fan, as the game is one huge fan service love letter. I hope you all at least check it out. Necro.
Cool.
Cloud is like an emo kid in that thing. Whenever you beat anybody with Cloud, he kind of throws the sword down and goes, I didn't enjoy that. You know?
Oh, no.
It's horrible.
Then
he scratches his male
midriff.
I'm reminded of the Penny Arcade comic that came out just, I think, last week or the week before. And it's, I always forget who's who, but like they're talking back and forth, and one of them is playing Dissidia, and the other one comes up behind him and he goes, there's more to that game than just killing Titus over and over, and you see like pictures of him killing Titus, and he goes, yeah, I know. I on a side note, Mark Singer from PS Nation and I were talking, and he said that he's been playing the game and he really really enjoys it, so. That's another endorsement.
I've been hearing
right
a lot of good things.
Yeah.
It actually charted on the MPDs just came out today and actually charted in the top 10.
That's cool.
And
that's rare good for, yeah, that's really rare for a PSP game. So very good for that.
Yeah. I'll definitely. I didn't realize there was a demo. Actually, to tell the truth, Necro. I'll check it out because it did pique my interest. But there was just so much stuff I was playing, and like you said, Batman totally overshadowed it. Yeah. But it sold good. Apparently, it sold well.
Enough to be on the NPDs. So.
That's right.
All right. Now for the longest email of the night. That of course I end up getting stuck reading. So here we go. Bear with me.
Getting stuck. It's a joy.
I know. Hello, Interactive Distractions. Confidence Man 2 here. Long-time listener.
Please send more email.
Long-time listener, sort of. I don't know what that means. But first-time emailer.
He only started listening about... Oh, I was going to fill in just kind of sidebar what the whole sort of is. He actually just started listening to us maybe like a month and a bit ago. But ever since he listened, he actually went to our backlog and started from episode 1.
Holy crap.
Holy hell.
Why?
Yeah, and he's I'm pretty sure he's caught up right now.
Oh my god, that's a lot of episodes to go through, man. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously.
Well, thank you. I wanted to go over a few things with you. For the Canadian on the show, I have a list of observations that he may want to comment on. Why are squares and octagons prohibited in Vancouver? I see these symbols on street signs everywhere. What do Canadians have against simple geometric shapes?
Octagons prohibited?
All shapes will be a maple leaf.
We have octagons in Toronto, so and squares and diamonds. So I've never been to Vancouver, so I'm not sure if their signs are any different looking than ours. So I can't really comment on that.
Okay. But
I want to know what kind of if they're prohibited. I want to know what kind of shapes they have in Vancouver.
What's a stop sign look like?
Circles.
In here, it's an octagon.
I know.
So
that's what I'm saying. If they're prohibited, what's a stop sign look like?
I have no idea.
Everything has a maple
circle,
leaf on it.
I guess.
Everything.
Right. Really?
I was severely disappointed at the lack of Canadian Mounties roaming across the countryside on mooseback.
The moose are all busy with the internet now.
It's all exactly. They're all in people's backyards.
They're transferring your data from one side of the city to the other. Vancouver's night market rivals many other black markets. I saw a pop station, several waveboard imitations, and even a ShamWow clone, also made in Germany. Apparently, Germans make good knockoffs. Screw Green Hills. This is the place to look if you're trying to keep an eye out for the rumored 360 Slim. I never saw a statue of Canada's most beloved sports hero, Wayne Gretzky. But I can imagine that it would be posted, it would be posed like Rocky Balboa's statue with the arms up proudly in the air, although it would be holding a hockey puck in one hand and so many teeth in the other. I may have been permanently blacklisted myself from traveling to Canada by writing this.
That's funny.
All right, he goes on. For the fighting game expert on the show, who's actually not,
I guess that'd be
Jason.
Me.
So, Stunt Jason.
Not here. Yeah, Glenn. Yeah.
I have a question requires his infinite loop wisdom. Which entry-level fighting game should a noob like myself get? I have Virtua Fighter 5 and Soul Calibur 4 for the PS3, and I don't plan on buying any arcade sticks anytime soon.
Okay, so, noob-level fighting game.
I'm going to say Street Fighter. I really think Street Fighter is a good entry level fighting game. I mean, it's very easy to pick up and play, but it's very hard to master.
All right, if you're looking for something slow paced, nice and easy going, I would suggest Blaze Blue. Not.
And I would suggest you not listening to Glenn.
If you don't know what you're doing, just hop online, play a couple random battles with some people, and they'll definitely show you your downfalls. And you'll learn real quick. And then after you play that, pick up Street Fighter and go, oh, that's how it works. And then you can have fun with that game. But no, Street Fighter for sure. That I mean, I never played any fighting games myself really until Street Fighter 4 came out.
Yeah,
there you
and
go.
I am dead hooked on that game. I got over 100 hours invested in it.
Wow.
And I'm having a blast with it. And you can ask Jeff. I'm not amazing, but I've definitely improved
a lot. Dude,
you've
improved big time since when we first played each other. That is for sure. So
it's definitely a good entry level game, something somebody can easily get into, but it's deep enough that you can improve upon it. Make people go, what the fuck? How do you keep doing that to me? So
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say something like Street Fighter 4, and I was going to say if 3D area, I was going to say Soul Calibur. You already say you have Soul Calibur 4, so those are the two.
Soul Calibur PSP, get that.
Oh, there you go. Now featuring Kratos.
Is that online?
All right, so he
clean
goes
up on aisle Goffy.
For the one who has a hatred for Microsoft, I guess that's me, I have a question designed to prevent an anti-MS rant. What do you think about the PS3 Slim and firmware 3.0 design choice? More specifically, does the new hardware feel sleeker or cheaper? Does the gray box on the friends list bother you? Was the gay tingle a good trade-off for the gay sparkle? well, for the actual unit itself, I can't really comment, but Jeff, you can. I mean, does it feel sleeker or does it feel cheaper?
Okay, I'm going to say it definitely feels cheaper and looks cheaper. But that's because of the whole finish and stuff like that. But at the same time, it is very sleek. Like, if they would have put the original finish of the PlayStation on the PS3 Slim, it would be sexy as all hell.
Okay.
But, well, besides it being a square box, but it actually looks cheaper, and it feels cheaper. But at the same time, I feel if I drop the Slim, it has a less of a chance of breaking than if I drop the Fat.
Oh wow!
But that's just because the Fat weighs like 3,000 pounds. So, and I feel I don't know, dude.
I was going to say, have you looked up the definition of feels cheaper?
Well, that's
the
thing.
It feels cheaper than the original, but I don't think it would break.
You know when you get that, like, it's just weird. I feel like it's more fragile, like the PS3 Fat for some reason. It's like when you think of the original
Xbox. So I hope that clarified things, Con Man.
Yeah, well, like the original Xbox was heavy, yes, and it looked kind of cheap, but it felt like if I were to take this and toss off like a 3-story building, it wouldn't put a dent, like it would just, like, it would be fine. Whereas if I feel like.
Yeah, it's the street you should be worried about.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly.
Passersby.
Whereas the PS3, although it is heavier, for some reason, I feel like if that were to drop, it would be more fragile than the PS3 Slim, if that makes any sense, even though the PS3 Slim is lighter and looks cheaper. I guess you kind of have to hold them both in your hand, actually. I don't know.
Okay.
Do curls.
Well, that's enough of that, I think.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Moving on.
firmware 3.0 design choice. I don't mind firmware 3.0 for the most part. I'm really glad they put the little window up at the top that shows how many friends
I
are
like
online.
I like the information window.
But I really hate that.
Never even noticed that.
The first thing pulls up is like all those icons that it scrolls through. That kind of annoys the crap out of me.
But you don't like the what's new?
Not really. No, I don't want to know what's new.
I'd like it if it showed new things.
I want to start up my system and push a button and start my game.
And the what's new is just like the 360 where it's like the recently played list, basically.
Yeah.
Well, but it shows like advertisement for shit they want to sell you, too. And I wouldn't even be opposed to that if they had new shit up and didn't have the same thing going for a whole week. I get it. Home. I get it. Hannah Montana PSP. I still don't care.
I'm still not going to buy a piece of shit. You know, pink PSP.
Exactly.
I don't like the gray boxes over the friends list.
I don't see what the big deal is about
that. Ugly as
it's grown on me.
It's not consistent. It's like everything looks so sleek and so like unified, and then you get to the friends list, like ugly gray boxes.
Big gray box. Yeah.
Like I'm used to it now. Yeah, I understand, but it does feel out of place. Like it should still be the old way, where it's like kind of transparent. See the name, messages, whatever. Yeah.
Did give the double take when I first saw it, too.
Yeah, the sparkle thing I never actually experienced because I had a theme already hooked on my PS3, so when I got the new firmware, I still had the same theme. So I haven't seen the game.
I kind of like the sparkles. I like them. I don't know why.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, shut your damn Canadian mouth. God.
All right, for everyone on Indus, I have a proposal for you. Please make MAG an Indus-sponsored game. Since all of you unofficially retired from Warhawk, well, retired is a strong word. You actually have to play the game in order to retire from it. Anyways, if you could make Monday Mag Day or something when it releases, I think it'll really take off. Despite your reservations over the 256 player clusterfuck that might occur, even if Jason's not a fan of FPS of FPSs, with the amount of enemies on the battlefield, he's bound to hit something.
Oh my god.
I don't know.
Please let me insult you and have you sponsor a game night. Thank you.
Honestly,
goodbye.
I think that PS Nation is going to take care of Mag.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I think they'll do a good job. Yeah.
But then again, Jeff did get Core so that he can get into Mag Beta. So.
That's
All right.
We did play Warhawk Confidence like before time. We actually did play for a good.
It was a good 3-4 months that we played.
Yeah, it was about a good two or three months where we played pretty consistently. It wouldn't be all three of us on every single
Wednesday. It was mostly Jason, followed...
Towards the end it was
followed by
Jason.
Me, followed by Jeff.
Oh, I heard that stories. Shit. I was on more than you. At the beginning, it was just me. I was like, all right, let's do this shit. Let's play.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but Mag, to tell you the truth, I'm pretty sure PS Nation are going to do something about the whole Mag thing.
Yeah.
But, Yeah.
Keep an eye out for
I
that.
I want to try it.
Keep your eye on VG.
But
Evo.
It's first person, so Chris and Jason probably aren't going to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to get it. So
depends what the package looks like.
That's right.
And the cover. I was going to make a joke.
He finishes
that,
off. That's all the thoughts I have.
Man, no more drinking for me in podcast.
That's all the thoughts I have in this ridiculously long email, but I have to say, especially since I'm nearing the end of my Indus summer listen-a-thon, only 6 left before I catch up. I get to my catch-up point. My PSN is Confidence Man 2. Feel free to add me if you like. PS, can you suggest any Indus Fest alternative for me since I'm a college student, live in California, and have no money because of reason 1 and 2?
All right, listen, would you ask Chuck Norris to suggest a Chuck Norris alternative? I don't fucking think so. There's no Indus Fest alternative. Get the fuck out of California. No excuses.
Stop being a student. Drop out.
You drop
Start
out of school.
Selling crack on the corner.
You live in a goddamn Volkswagen bus. You drive your ass from California, and you come to Indus Fest.
Nice. Glenn, your check's in the mail.
Thank you very much.
But if you can't make it to Indus Fest,
dude, Comic-Con's out there. Just passed. That's what first thing
well,
I.
Well, does he
picked
does
up.
He mean like a suggest? A, does he want Indus Fest alternative in terms of like
what to
I mean,
do
dude,
during Indus
in California,
Fest? Yeah.
There's a million things that will substitute for Indus Fest in California. You can go to like fucking. You can go to PAX.
Yeah.
You can go to where's E3? Is that Vegas?
E3's in California also. It's in Los. It's
yeah. So
in
you
Los
got
Angeles.
E3. All the big things, but I think like if you want to actually participate in Indus Fest, but not actually can't be there, we are streaming the entire night basically live from the bar.
Yes, we are.
So you can check that out. We're gonna have. There's going to be like a chat room kind of thing there where you can actually post questions or whatnot and chat it up with other people who couldn't make it who, for some reason, want to be in there.
And get with spoiler alert, too, and send him questions for a Q&A thing.
Yeah, you can send a question. Exactly, you can send a question to a spoiler. He's got a thread up, actually, on in our forums under Interactive Distractions on VG Evo. You can go there, post questions to him. Don't put it in the thread because we want everything to be, like, see, we don't want to see the questions. We do not want to be prepared at all. We want to be put on the spot. And this is why I'm going to throw up. And
there's going
to
be a lot of dead air at Indus Fest.
So, yeah, you can always do that. It'll probably be good. It's going to be a good time had by all. I mean,
I think so.
It's gonna
I agree.
It sucks that some people can't make it, but if you're not doing anything that day or that night, check it out. And that's a pretty decent alternative. I mean, we're still going to be interacting with everyone, even online. So
yeah, we're going to have someone that's going to be monitoring the chat box and letting us know what's going on. So,
Jeff, are we going to stream the arm wrestling match?
Sure, why not?
All right. So you can
also
check
known
that
as
out.
The Kill 9 Crying in Defeat.
Oh,
episode 1.
Crying in Defeat. Maybe crying as I'm saying thank you as Tanya's lifting her shirt up for everybody at Indus Fest because I won.
Well, no, so we have to change the rules now because Kelly's no longer coming.
She might be coming. We don't know yet.
Yeah, that's you right. Say that now. Yeah, whatever.
See, I'm going to hang that out there just long enough that it's too late to change the rules.
He'll show up. Oh, she didn't come.
10 minutes
sorry.
Before it happens.
Oh, yeah,
actually, no,
it.
She's going to be here in 50 minutes. Trust me. Don't worry about it.
She's getting me a drink right now. She's at the bar. Go look. She's right there.
All right, guys, we need to get moving.
Oh,
I still got two more voicemails to play. Here we go.
Oh my god,
this one's from Eddie Kusanagi.
What is up, Indus? This is Eddie Kusanagi here with a few somewhat good questions.
All right. With all the major fighters
the judge of that.
That has already came out this year, I think it is the end of the uprising of fighters, unless you're a Tekken fan, which I highly doubt. Well, they all came out, and I just want to know which one do you favor the most?
You know, did you record KLS, this by a bonfire?
I know the answer is obvious, but still, I'd like it to be stated officially on record to say what it is. And if you could, you know, say why. Question two. All right, after beating Metal Gear Solid 4 for the 13th time, what? I feel the urge to ask you guys if you've beaten all four of them, and which one is your favorite? And just as a little suggestion or a request, if you may, I feel the urge that as one of the games that is probably going to be one of the nominees for Game of the Year, you should give like a 10-minute spoiler-filled at the end of the show feature for Batman Arkham Asylum. There was one of the greatest gaming moments in the game. I feel the urge that you guys should like do just say something. Hear your thoughts on it, 10, 15 minutes. Spoiler-filled.
Yeah.
That's
not going to happen tonight.
Sure. That's what this show needs is 10 or 15 more minutes.
All right, that about wraps this up. Take care, guys.
All right.
All right, start with question one.
Question one, which fighting game?
Yeah.
I can't really be the judge because I still haven't played King of Fighters. But as of right now, I would say Street Fighter.
Agreed.
Okay. Why?
Why? Because it's
Street Fighter. That's all I have to say.
Because it's fucking Street Fighter. No, as I said earlier when we were asking talking about which fighter to pick up for Confidence Man, it's easy to pick up and play, but it's hard to master. And you know, it's a game that everyone can come back on and play. The game is damn good, and it's got great online support. It's got good online support.
It's good, yeah, for sure.
All right, let me explain why Street Fighter is the tits for you, real quick.
Oh, I love tits.
Full of epic moments like this, okay? I'm playing against Two Hands Revy. He's C Viper, and I'm Gouken. He goes to throw the Ultra down.
You're going to win, obviously.
Oh, yeah. But he goes to throw the Ultra down right as I'm sliding at him as Gouken to do that little, you know, I'm going to bitch slap you across the screen maneuver.
Yeah.
And the smoke hits. Both of us have like half a pixel of health left, and you just hear KO come up, and we're like, what the fuck happened? What the fuck happened? All of a sudden, the smoke clears. You see C Viper spinning across the screen, and Gouken just standing there as the smoke clears. I was like,
I'm a beast.
That was fucking epic. It'll never get better than that. And that is why Street Fighter is the best.
All right.
Never had a moment like that in Blaze Blue or anything. Never. Not even close.
I'm going Street Fighter 4 as well. Only because that game is consistent with the rules of the game. It'd be a close second with Blaze Blue, except for Blaze Blue, every fighter plays differently, like a different fighting game, and the rules, conventional fighting game rules, don't apply to Blaze Blue. I don't know what it is, just like certain things you should just naturally do that work in King of Fighters, work in Street Fighter, hell, work in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Mm-hmm.
Don't work in Blaze Blue.
Hmm.
So it's consistent, you know, like even picking whatever character, you know when you can punish, you know when you can go in for your ultra, knowing how to combo into them is a different story, but that's the depth of the whole game. Marvel vs. Capcom 2, ridiculously unbalanced. Yeah, sorry, I'm burping here. Ridiculously unbalanced, so you can't really say that. I think that's the most accessible fighter, actually even more, I think that is the best party fighter with people who do not like fighters, throw in Marvel vs. Capcom, have them play, you can mash out shit, it's fun. But yeah, Street Fighter 4, consistent. It doesn't have a lot of what the fuck moments in it, except for when you want to blame your controller because you made a mistake, because everyone does that. But like Glenn said, there's so many like intense moments. Like me and Chris had for Scrub Sport, our tournament match went down to the wire to match 7, round 3, to both of us having like hardly any health left, who's going to hit each other next? And I came out on top, luckily, because I threw a fireball at the right time while he was jumping backwards. And that was just like, wow, yeah! And I don't know, I haven't had that moment in pretty much any fighting game this gen.
I agree. All right, Metal Gear Solid, have you beaten them all, and which is your favorite?
No, beaten 1, 2, and 4. I think my overall favorite, I want to say 1 just because of nostalgia and I thought it was great, but four is awesome. This is tough. I'm going to go with four. I think four is the best one, I think.
What Jeff said.
All right. Don't kill me. I have never played a Metal Gear game.
You're fired.
What the fuck?
This episode's over. I'm not even going to publish this shit. Not even publishing this
We're
fucking
deleting
episode.
The past 4
I'm not
hours.
Even going to bother editing this shit.
No, I
You're not
honestly,
welcome
I
in this fest, bitch.
Oh my god. I Your guess I need to that. Do some homework. Fuck.
Play 4 first, actually.
Play 4?
Okay. Well, because 1 and 2, like the Metal Gear games aren't really conventional in terms of control and stuff. You might not
right.
be used to it. Just go like, for 4. It's
like I haven't
control.
It's not that I haven't played any. I just haven't dedicated any time to like I've had friends who had Metal Gear Solid on the PS1. And I was like, "Oh, cool. Let me run around and play for a little bit." And I was just like, "Yeah, all right. That's awesome. See you later. Bye." And I played the demo Metal Gear 4, but I never picked it up. I don't know why.
It's a great game, dude.
Play 4 if you really liked it. Go back and play the other ones. Yeah, that's what I'd say.
I agree. Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. So, Muramasa, Metal Gear, pick it up. Gotcha.
There you go.
Booyah.
Batman spoiler episode? Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing is maybe. We've promised a lot of stuff like that that's never happened.
Yeah. The thing is that, you know, I mean, me and Jason actually threw around the idea of doing a Batman spoiler episode. And, you know, we just kind of shot it down because honestly, I don't think that Batman's going to be on my game of the year list personally.
Oh, what? That's
it's not,
you're fired. Hey, Glenn, you want to be part of Interactive Distractions now? Are you for real?
Not. Yeah, I'm for real.
Oh,
I
wow.
was very from Killer Croc on. I was very disappointed.
Really?
Yeah. Well, not very disappointed. It's the game is still great in my book, but it's in the 8 zone. Great, not 9.5 or whatever that's been getting great. And I think a lot of people are giving it more credit than it deserves because it's a Batman game and it's good.
I guess that's a fair analysis, though. I mean, when you think about it.
But can you blame a game for the last like less than a quarter for all it put?
Less than a quarter,
that?
Three boss battles.
No, there's well, yeah, but you crocked, and right after that is Poison Ivy, which isn't that far afterwards.
Well, but that's
Joker.
The opposite of what a game's supposed to do, you know. The game's supposed to ramp up to this exciting point. If you're getting to the end of it and you're just kind of going, all right, is it done yet?
I don't want to get into too many details, but let's just say that I am very disappointed in the way they handled the supervillains, the bosses, fighting them.
Really,
I am very disappointed in the way they handled that. Everything else in the game is friggin' awesome. I loved it, but
it gives more reason to do a like 10-minute little. Wait, or we should save for our game of the year.
We can
show
do it
whatever,
another day. We're not doing it today.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
not today.
No.
Yes. Well, Jason's not here too. So.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
I got,
he would kill you for that. By the way, if
not
you did.
Even on your game of the year. Wow.
No, and actually, I don't think it's on Jason's either.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I thought he just walked away.
I'm not going to quote Jason on that. I'm not going to say that because I don't know for sure. But I, Jason and I have a lot of similar frustrations.
But is he taking the Batman fanboyism and taking it to like, oh, they totally fucked up Poison Ivy, blah, blah, blah.
No,
blah,
it's
blah.
Not even that.
Or is he looking
I mean,
at it from like a game standpoint, being like, as a game design, like how it played out and stuff, it's not a good game.
It's okay. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. The game is great. It's not a bad game. I would never say that. The game is damn great. But there are a few things in it that really disappointed me, and I could not put it on my game of the year list because of it. That's what I'm getting at.
All right.
Enough said. We might do that again later. But here's our...
I think we might have to, because I've... Yeah, that's...
Well,
yeah.
We can talk about it offline. I don't want to put any spoilers in this show.
All right.
So this is our last voicemail, and I think we played something from this guy last week.
In the forest, rock. This is not going to be a cool message because I'm a little hammered for no apparent reason. You guys are awesome. Please don't hold this against me.
Still don't know who it is.
Guys,
sorry, I'll stop calling in, guys.
Y'all should get great material for the show making fun of me. In the trash. Guys rock. Woo!
I hope he's not in a car.
Have a good night. Great episode and all that good stuff.
It's still
stuff.
Going.
Oh, wow.
Peace.
All right.
So I still don't know who that is.
The only problem I have with him being that drunk is by listening in the background, he's that drunk by himself.
Or he locked himself. He went in the wide, like, I really got to take a pee. And he
shut
walked
up,
like,
guys,
I
shut up.
I'm going to
call Interactive Distractions. See, and your podcast name is even a good measure. If you can't say Interactive Distractions, don't call the show.
That's why we have Indus for short. For the drunk people that call
us. Yes. All right,
awesome.
Then.
I love drunken men.
Indus Fest to you, too.
Especially when they're not mine.
That's right. Especially when they're not yours. All right, guys, we really need to get out of here. Let's give something away real quick.
All
right. Okay.
I'm heading to random.org right now so I can put in my my numbers. The number this week is 20.
20.
20 is Clayton Menezes. I think I said
Oh,
it right.
Yeah.
Menezes?
Good old Clayton.
You are the proud owner of Fallout from goodoldgames.com, and I will be sending you your code shortly after this episode releases. I would play a song for you, but I don't have the song listed.
You don't
Jason
have music?
Has. Sorry.
Oh, people what? Are going to be so disappointed.
I know. It's that's like people look forward to that shit too.
Glenn,
now.
Quick, sing.
Wait, hang on, hang on. No, I got a song coming for you. Hang on 1 second. This is from Two Hands Revy gave me this. If it's working.
It sounds like Nine Inch Nails.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Never mind.
This is Tom Jones. Sex
It
bomb.
Is Tom.
Because it's Fallout from a sex bomb.
That's right. Clayton. The sex bomb.
So there you have it.
Thank you, Glenn.
Hey, anytime, guys.
I'm right, getting that. Sounded like fucking Trent Reznor.
All we got left is question of the week, so let's get this shit over with and get out of here. So, question of the week for the for next week. Does the advancement in technology justify the higher prices this generation? So we're talking about consoles and games, both. Does the advancements that we've made in gaming technology actually justify these increases?
Including like DS and PSP stuff.
Right, including portables.
Yeah.
You can answer the question a week by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail. We got a lot this week. That number is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can get us on Skype directly. It's Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Yes! Thank you, Glenn!
You can get us on Google Talk also. It's interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually also as Indus Chris, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
And
you can follow me at Kill9.
I was going to ask what your podcast's Twitter was.
Oh, my podcast Twitter is twitter.com/expdelpodcast.
Okay.
Because expletive delete is too goddamn long.
Yeah, well, so is Interactive Distractions. That's why we're in this podcast.
Yep.
Let's see what else. Where else? We also have a Facebook group. That's Interactive Distractions Podcast. That is our wrap up. Do we have anything else before we get out of here?
I don't think so.
I got one more thing to say.
Right.
I usually don't pimp podcasts, like especially when if they're not part of like VG Evo or whatever. I usually don't do this kind of thing. Well, I did it for Expletive Deleted actually because they're on the other network. But you guys are good. I'm just gonna say that you guys are do a really good
Thank
job.
Thank you very much.
But, another show.
We're amazing.
Another show that I actually listened to for the first time today is a Down Forward X.
It's actually
podcast.
It's Down to Forward X.
Down to Forward X, and that's actually done by I'm pretty sure they're from Scotland. They definitely have an accent over in the Europes, but sounds Scottish. But they're actually pretty damn cool. And the reason why I'm pimping is because they're very different. They're a gaming podcast, but they don't directly talk about games. They do it in a very kind of radio.
It's like sketch-related almost.
It's like sketch comedy kind of, basically. And in episode 2, they only have 2 episodes out, but the quality is amazing. Their
production value is awesome.
Yeah, and the whole idea of this episode is they're inside Peter Molyneux.
Oh my god!
And they're going to conduct an interview with him, and it is really funny. And the reason I want to put this because I want these guys to get some kind of attention because it's actually a really good show. It's only about half an hour long. It's funny, and I want these guys to keep putting them out because it's pretty good stuff. So you can find that on VG Evo under the Other Podcast Network. It's Down to Forward X, and just look at it under there. You'll find it. It's pretty simple, but it's run by a guy named Prime Buster on VG Evo. So give it a shot. At least give it a shot once, twice. I was really impressed, and I was laughing, and it was pretty good times.
Cool. All right. Well, Glenn, why don't you pimp your shit real quick?
All right. You can find us on the web at www.expletivedeletedpodcast.com. I really hope you can spell expletive. We just, talk about random shit, and generally episodes about an hour and a half long, not too short. So just check that out. You can find all the information on the website. Yeah. Find all the information on the website on how to contact us, leave us voicemail and email and everything. And we do live shows every Thursday around 8 or 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So you can come and call into the live show every single week. And that's really what I was pushing for, is I wanted that live show feel so that people could really feel like they were involved.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
So come check us out.
Thank you, sir.
Awesome.
All right, well, hope you guys enjoyed the show, even though it was really fucking long. If you want shorter shows, send shorter emails.
Or tell us to stop drinking the beer.
So if you did enjoy the show, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm waiting for this.
And Glenn first. And I'm Jeff.
Play your games. And we'll talk to you next week. I was really looking forward to that part.
And I'm Stunt Jason.
I'm Stunt Jason.
In the forest!
Good night, everybody.
Take it easy.
Bye, guys.